WBUR, New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC. I'll be so blue thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't mean a thing, dear, if you're not here with me. I'll have
Christmas, folks, at 6:03 on your hump day, episode day, Wednesday morning, back on the best talk show anywhere in the country. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. That's the Lumineers, another Leslie Slender special. That's now three from Leslie. I've got about four or five more. She's got the, she sent me the Darius Rucker version of, was that Winter Wonderland? Is that right, Justin?
Yeah, I believe so.
And then she also sent me the CeeLo Green, was it White Christmas?
Yeah, it's either that or totally flipped around.
Right, and then this one here, Lumineers, Blue Christmas, so Leslie Slender. You know what it was about 2 weeks ago? I got on, we were 2 days in. I thought we started the Christmas music too early, and I'm a guy that talks about the holidays in October. You know that. There's nobody more holiday-focused than me, nobody. But I thought we started a bit too early. It was November. We're playing Christmas music. So by day two, I was like, I'm sick of this already. I don't want to hear Bing Crosby or Dean Martin or any of these people. God. And then Leslie said, well, wait a second. There's some new acts out there, you know, some modern day stuff. I said, well, give it to me. And that is the third of the list of songs, and they're all great. So thank you to Leslie on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We are set for what? 10 inches of snow today? 10, 12? What do we got?
Yeah, that sounds about right, huh?
No, we got nothing. We, at least driving in this morning, there was no precipitation, but my man Gene, who I missed for 5 days, I didn't have a cab for 5 days, he got a new car. And I was forced to actually walk to Broadway, circa 4:45 in the morning, and wait for a cab, which is awful.
God forbid.
Well, you know, you say God forbid, I don't mind, but on a morning at a quarter to five, like two mornings last week, I had to wait over 20 minutes. And that becomes a bit annoying. It's cold. I want to get here. Now I'm starting to worry about the time. So it's much easier when I walk outside at 4:35 and Gene is just sitting there. So he's back, and he drove me into work today. No snow, but again, driving up and down Fifth Avenue, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous setting. As we get closer and closer to Christmas, as for me and Bernard, we are now down to, after today, 10 shows. So we start this morning. Our number is 11, like Mark Messier. And Phil Sims, number 11.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, which nobody would ever mention in that same sentence with those two guys, ever. Even though the Colts are playing pretty good football right now.
Well, now he's number 2 on the Colts. He was number 11 on the
Oh, there you go. Thank you for that, Justin. So we're down to 11, and then I'm out of here. I'm going away for a little bit, and I'm not telling you where I'm going. You know, I always tell folks where I'm going, what I'm doing, and Danielle gets mad, and I had other friends in the past. They got mad, so from now on, whatever I do, I'm not going to say anything, at least when it comes to leaving town. On a daily basis, I tell you folks everything, and you guys love it. In fact, I got a direct message from a lady in Chicago late last night. I was already asleep. And her and her husband live on the east side of Chicago and watch and listen to this show every day. Of course, you can download the app, 77 WABC, and listen to Bernie and Sid anywhere in the country, anywhere, anytime. In fact, outside the country, anywhere in the world. Just download the free 77 WABC app and you'll love it. And you can watch this show, because it is simulcast, it's a television show, at WABCRadio.tv, WABCRadio.tv. If you're watching right now, I've got a beautiful, I must say, it's not mine. I mean, I own it, but I didn't make it. A beautiful Joseph Abboud jacket on with a nice little pocket square and a Joseph Abboud shirt and my very sexy tan muscular chest and my dad's number one dad charm. That's the outfit for this morning. Back to the regular Sid wear after wearing a sweatshirt yesterday. Lady says to me, I got to tell you, you tell a story every year about your Christmas party, which I'll do later on this morning. We threw the biggest Christmas party in the world. There we were on 2216 Quentin Road, Brooklyn, New York, for many, many years. And we had over 200 people. That is not an exaggeration. Over 200 folks stop by the Rosenbergs every year on Christmas Eve for our celebration bash. So what happened was I was living in the basement. We had a very nice finished basement in the house. That's where I lived. And I would have all my friends, the young guys, in the basement. I'd have a DJ, probably about 60 or 70 kids. And then upstairs, my mom and dad would have a piano player, very classy, and about 150 adults. And, you know, listen, at one point during the heyday of Cocaina, late, you know, mid-1980s, early 1990s, there'd be more people downstairs in the basement waiting to get into the bathroom in my party than my parents upstairs. But it was a blast. It was beautiful. It was great. And I tell a story about my dad every year. I'll tell it later on this morning. And this lady's like, we love when you tell stories like that. And my daughter, she's a golfer, 24 years old, lives in New York City. She wakes up every morning just to watch you guys on TV. Those are the stories that people love. We'll get you some of those today. No Bernie today. We told you that yesterday. Bernie has some more tests today. I think he's got a bone scan and a pelvic scan coming up later on today. His stress test went well yesterday. We talk every day. He will be out today, obviously. He'll be out also on Tuesday, maybe next Friday. So over the next couple of weeks, we may see a little less of Bernard. He's got his biopsy coming up on Tuesday. He's doing fine. He's doing okay. There's no news to really deliver. He's taking all these tests just to make sure he's okay to go through the biopsy on Tuesday. Now, we know he's okay. He knows he's okay, but he must go through this anyway. So there's nothing to deliver in terms of news. He'll be back tomorrow and then out again next Tuesday and Friday. So let's start with what I did yesterday. You guys know I was dressed in that light blue sweatshirt yesterday. My friend Tony Oso, who was in studio with me and Bernard a couple of weeks ago, and JL Blessings hit the streets of New York City. I'm hoping, as I'm talking about this, Gabby Lopez, who is a tremendous employee here, Chad Lopez's daughter, great kid. She actually hit the streets with me yesterday. Tony loves her. Hoping she's showing the pictures right now, but we arrived, Gabby and I, at Penn Station about 10:45 yesterday morning. We were greeted by Tony, a bunch of his other teammates, and a huge truck filled with backpacks, 800 backpacks. Every backpack had everything from sweatshirts to toothpaste to water, all kinds of toiletries. And we started about 11 o'clock walking down 8th Avenue, heading towards the Port Authority and handing out these backpacks to the homeless. In fact, you can see pictures on my Instagram account, rosenberg.sydney, rosenberg.sydney, and also some at It's Bernie and Sid. That's the show's Instagram account, at It's Bernie and Sid. Of me, Tony Oso, Gabby Lopez, and a host of others walking up and down 7th and 8th Avenue, handing out the backpacks to the homeless. Did that for about 2 hours yesterday. And just like last year, I've now done this two consecutive years, thanks to Dolores, really, who I don't talk to anymore. But last year, she got me into this, and now it's become an annual event. Felt great afterwards. It really did. I think Gabby would tell you the same thing, just helping these people out. And I would say for every 10 homeless people that we gave these bags to, 8 out of the 10 were over the moon. Just so appreciative, so happy that actually somebody cares about them. Well, one or two of them couldn't care less. They were drunk or high and like, just leave the bag right there. But I would say about 80% really appreciated our efforts yesterday, and it makes it all worth it. So thank you to Tony Oso. They're back on the road today somewhere in New Jersey. And the fine folks at JL Blessings and all the folks that actually helped out yesterday along with me and Gabby, making it a very special day for me, for Gabrielle, for New Yorkers, for the homeless. Just a wonderful way to usher in the holiday season. Now, on the news front yesterday, the big story, of course, was Joe Biden. He's the president. What is, I know my mother has a call, but what does Bernie call Joe Biden?
What is Bernie called? The imbecile.
Imbecile.
Imbecile in chief. The
lowlife.
The perverted racist. Yeah. You know, all of the above.
Bernie gets a bit much with that stuff. He gets crazy with that. And look, I can't stand Joe Biden. I think he maybe is the worst president ever. But I do stop short at lowlife and stuff like that. Even though he very well may be
in the White House.
That's my mother. Yes. Why don't you wait till I actually ask for it instead of while I'm talking, play it over while I.
Oh, I see.
That timing was terrible.
I see how it works.
Yeah. What was that, Mom?
Are you going to tell Naomi Wednesday?
Creature in the White House.
Look at you two. You two are just the best. Luke and Justin Ellick. Yes, my mother says creature in the White House. Bernie says imbecile, lowlife, all these things. So we had this conversation with Vladimir Putin yesterday. But I have to set this up because Sean Spicer, who at one point was Donald Trump's White House press secretary, does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. He was there for the inauguration early on in Trump's presidential career, if you will. Now he's got a hit show on Newsmax, and he is set to join me this morning coming up at 8:05. He does the show with Lindsey Keith. He's on 6 p.m. Eastern time every night on Newsmax. So Sean had Trump on 2 days ago, the day before Putin and Biden had this conversation, you know. And Donald Trump, of course, he's not a very big fan of Joe Biden, and he's a very big fan of himself, as he should be. And he talked about, again, leading up to yesterday's conversation, he talked about just how unfair that matchup is, and he makes a football analogy, which is absolutely fantastic, just how absolutely unfair the matchup is between Putin and Biden.
Now I see that Biden is going to be talking to Putin, and that's not a fair match. That's not, that wouldn't have been a fair match in primetime. This is not a fair match for our country. And the election was rigged and it was stolen. And this is what we got. This is not a match that should even be allowed. This is, take the New England Patriots playing your high school football team. That's what you have right now.
You see, he's still loyal to Kraft and Belichick and Brady, all the guys that love Trump up in New England. Brady's now in Tampa Bay, of course, and the Pats in first place are 8-4. But how about that? Putin versus Biden is kind of like the Pats picking on your high school football team. So while he leveled Joe Biden, he's right, Trump's 1,000% right, he also found the time, as you could imagine, to pat himself on the back.
We never had any problem. Nobody was tougher on Russia than I was, and I liked Putin. Got along with him very well, but I was the one that stopped the pipeline. There can be no bigger thing than that. I sanctioned them, and I stopped the pipeline going all over Europe. And nobody could do bigger than that. Outside of the horror show of war itself, nobody could do bigger than that. And then I hear how nice I was to Russia. I got along great with Putin, but I was tough with Putin. Tougher than anybody ever. Tougher than anybody on China. Tougher than anybody ever.
See, the liberal media hears that, him saying something nice about Putin, they get crazy. But he was very smart, Donald Trump. He kept his enemies very, very close. He would every now and then say something nice about Xi or even that psycho in North Korea, you know, Rocket Man or Putin. All he was doing was keeping his enemies close. He was still very, very, very tough on those guys, made him a great president. Feckless Joe Biden, the complete opposite. As we speak, the Russians are amassing massive amounts of troops at the border, Ukraine. 175,000 was the last call because the conventional wisdom is that Putin and Russia will eventually invade Ukraine and take it over, like they did with Crimea many, 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 many years ago. We don't know if that's the case just yet, but that seems to be the case. And we don't think that countries like Russia or Iran or China are intimidated by Joe Biden like they were by Donald Trump. This would never happen while Trump was leading this country. Like him or hate him. Like Trump or hate him, this type of stuff wouldn't happen. Now, the fear is that all these countries, again, Russia, China, Iran, they'll do what they want because Biden poses zero threat. Oh, here's NSA Director Jake Sullivan yesterday after the Putin-Biden conversation saying, well, we're not sure that Putin is going to do what he says he's going to do, and he thinks Biden did a pretty good job on the phone call yesterday.
President Biden was direct and straightforward with President Putin, as he always is. He reiterated America's support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. He told President Putin directly that if Russia further invades Ukraine, the United States and our European allies would respond with strong economic measures. We would provide additional defensive materiel to the Ukrainians above and beyond that which we are already providing. And we would fortify our NATO allies on the eastern flank with additional capabilities in response to such an escalation.
There you go. Jake Sullivan, Putin, believe me, he hears Joe Biden. I don't buy it. I don't buy it even a little. You should read Michael Goodwin's column today in the New York Post. Man, does he take Joe Biden to the woodshed about his foreign policy. Last look, the approval rating for Joe Biden on his foreign policy hovering around a very, very low 36%. Four great guests today. We'll start with a former colleague and coworker of ours, me and Bernie. She was on the Imus show with us about 20 years ago. Now she is a star every morning at Fox News, top-notch meteorologist. Janice Dean is going to be here. You know her story about her in-laws and Andrew Cuomo. She'll talk about the Chris Cuomo recent situation. Janice Dean coming up at 6:25. Former congressman out of Long Island and a Bernie and Sid favorite, the great Peter King will be here this morning, coming up at 7:40. As I said, Sean Spicer, Spicer and Company, 6 p.m. every weeknight on Newsmax, talking about the Putin-Biden conversation yesterday. And again, he had Donald Trump on his show 2 days ago. Spicer, he'll be here at 8:05 and making his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning show today. The man that we voted against. We're all about Nicole Malliotakis. She beat Max Rose. Max Rose announced 2 days ago he's going to run again against Nicole in 2022. And coming up at 8:40 this morning, Max Rose makes his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning show. So four great guests. You've got Lydia Reports. You've got Beat Bernie. It's a monster show. Bernie's not here, but I am. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. It's a Wednesday with Sid. Only right here on Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Oh, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time.
Another Leslie Slender special here. This is Rascal Flatts. And Jingle Bell Rock. I'm going to have to play at some point today Elton John and Dua Lipa. I know it's not a new song. It's been around for months, but I'm going to have to do it. I just, you know, Jingle Bell Rock and White Christmas, and it's just, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love it. Love it. But I have to add some regular music. So, like during the segment, you have to play some song. I'm gonna go crazy. I'm just gonna go crazy. I mean,
you're already crazy.
No, that's true. You're right. Thank you, Leslie Slender, for that one. Lisa Ganji just sent me another Christmas song too. So we'll get to all of them. Anyway, our next guest is a longtime dear friend. We spent many mornings crying together after working with Don Himes. Now she is a mega superstar at Fox News, meteorologist, news lady. She's been on this show quite a bit and, of course, directly affected by the murderous policies of Andrew Cuomo. I want their opinion on Chris Cuomo. Here she is from Fox News, my great friend, the lovely Janice Dean. Janice, good morning. How are you, sweetheart?
It's so nice to talk to you again, my friend. Always. Can you believe we've known each other for over 20 years?
It is insane. Bernie's out today. He's not feeling well. He's going through some tests, but then he'll be fine. He'll be fine. But it is insane when I think about, yes, that newsroom in Astoria, Queens over 20 years ago. I just, it's, that's where I go for Botox and filler every couple of months because I'm getting old.
Well, we were only teenagers when we worked there, so we're not that old.
Right. We're close. I mean, I was like 38, but I'll go with teenagers. That works for me. That's good enough for me. No, we were young. We were young and we were naive and, We were thrust into a crazy situation with a guy that is, you know, he was a menace and not a very nice man, quite frankly, but can't argue his success and his quote-unquote legendary and infamous status. And you and I were like, what the hell are we doing here? How did we get here?
Well, listen, I will be forever grateful for that job because that's the job that brought me to New York. You know, even though we had, you know, tough times there, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in today without that job. And you, I love you and Bernie. And we had such great people around us, you know, that kept us going, let's just say.
Yeah, we did. Lou Ruffino, another. And especially this time of year, I have so many fond memories, even though a lot of them are fuzzy because I drank a lot 20 years ago. But especially this time of year, we'd have those WFAN Christmas parties. And you and I went to a couple together. And, you know, you can party too, by the way, Janice. And your girlfriend from Canada came 1 year. It was we had a lot of fun at the, I think it was the what's that hotel in Long Island City or something, right?
It was Garden City. Yeah, it was the Garden City Hotel. I don't remember a lot either.
We had fun. We had fun. Christmas is always a very, very special time. So Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. Let me just kind of set the table for folks who may not know your story. The former governor, Andrew Cuomo, his murderous policies directly affected you in that you lost not one, but both of your in-laws. And you have been a huge voice in getting rid of Cuomo, which we eventually did do. But I'm wondering, as much as you dislike, and deservedly so, Andrew Cuomo, How have you felt all this time about his brother, the recently fired Chris Cuomo?
Well, if it wasn't for Chris Cuomo and his brother's comedy hour on CNN in May, I don't know that I would have spoken out. It was that one show where they had the big cotton swab joking about the governor and the love gov, of course, and who the favorite son was. I was enraged by that because we had just lost my husband's parents, both his mother, Dee, and his father, Mickey, in separate nursing homes and care facilities, didn't know that there was a mandate to put COVID positive patients into their care facilities, thanks to Andrew Cuomo's mandate that was put out for 46 days. And now we know over 15,000 died. He covered it up to sell his $5.2 million book. But had I not seen the governor and his brother joking around about getting a COVID test, which, by the way, was not allowed for nursing homes to test incoming patients. So those bozos are on TV joking about it. That's when I decided I have to tell my family's story, because if I don't, no one else will. And these guys are going to get away with it. So even though it took up until this moment for Chris Cuomo to lose his job, and not just for, you know, covering up what his brother was doing, but for his own sexual harassment issues, you know, I think the day has finally come, and it took too long. However, I think it was, you know, it was much needed.
You know, I say all the time, I take no glee when people get fired. It's happened to me. And I will never forget, Janice, when I got fired by FAN back in 2005. And my daughter Ava was 18 months old, and I was living in a beautiful house in Tenafly, New Jersey. And I came to the realization, I was in my, you know, mid-40s, even younger than that, that, oh, my God, my career is maybe over, you know. And Danielle packed the car, threw the dog and the kid in the car, and we started that long journey to drive down to Florida to stay at our cousin's house because we had nowhere to live, and I didn't have a job. It was really miserable. I remember driving through the hills of North Carolina. I wanted to kill myself. So I don't like when people lose their jobs, but in this case with Andrew and Chris, I'm not going to lie, I have taken a certain amount of glee, and I think you probably feel the same way.
Listen, I feel for those families. I feel for Andrew Cuomo's family. You know, I've never gone on Twitter or social media to put his family down. I feel bad for those girls. I do feel bad for Chris Cuomo's family. You know, they're not the ones that made all of this happen. They're unfortunately dealing with the repercussions of his bad decisions. So, you know, you tell that story and it makes my heart break. It really does. But it has to tell you, you know, you are responsible for your own actions.
Yes.
And I think that these guys have gotten away with this kind of behavior for years and years because of where they grew up and their name. They've
right.
been protected since their father was in public office.
Yeah, talking about their father, I did see you tweet a couple of days ago, let's get back to the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yes.
So you feel strongly about that. You don't want the name Cuomo attached to that bridge, right?
I don't. Bring back the Tappan Zee Bridge. I mean, listen, I don't know what his father did. I wasn't here in New York when he was governor, but I did hear he was a kind man that, you know, that wanted the best for others. So it's such a shame that these two guys took advantage of their father's good name in this city and just, you know, just is such a disappointment to the people that he was supposed to represent. And had Andrew and Chris done their jobs that we pay them to do, they wouldn't be out of a job today.
That's true. The very talented and lovely Janice Dean, Fox News, with me this morning. So he's out, Andrew Cuomo, we know that. But he was never impeached, which means, at least up until now, that if he wants to run again for governor, it sounds crazy, but he can still do it. And certainly he's not in prison, so no criminal charges have been successful against him. So it's a very easy question. Is this enough for you, or do you want more blood?
There are more investigations that are still underway, Sid, and I believe at least one of them will be criminal. They're still looking into nursing homes. They're still looking into the ethics behind his $5.2 million book. He used staff and resources. He turned the executive chambers into a book publishing company. That is against the law. So I'm going to await the investigations that's still underway from the FBI and the DOJ here in New York. I'm grateful to Letitia James, by the way, who in January dropped that bombshell and really had a big part in why the dam started breaking. I was ready to give up my fight last year. So I'm grateful to her. You know, whatever her motivations were, she went against her own party to bring this guy to justice. So, you know, I'll be forever grateful to her.
What are you going to do, Janice, when you arrive for work early, as you do? What time do you get to work at Fox News? About 4 o'clock in the morning?
4 a.m., yeah.
4 a.m., makeup, getting ready to go, you're on TV, you're doing the weather, you're hanging out with Kilmeade and Angley and Peter Ducey, excuse me, the father, Steve Ducey. What are you going to do when you see Chris Cuomo in the lobby looking for a job?
I don't think he wants to see me, let's just say that.
I don't think so either, I don't. But I want to see you.
He'll be looking to Fox for a job.
I want to see you. One of these days, I'm going to walk down there. And just kind of bum rush the whole morning show and hang out with you and put me on TV. It'll be great. What do you think?
Any time, my friend. I would love to see you. Let's relive our days when we were, you know, going to Garden City and doing the Christmas.
Let's do it. We'll do it over the next 2 weeks. By the way, did they set the Christmas tree that's outside your building on fire last night? Is that right?
I thought you were going to open with that. That is correct. Our beautiful all-American Christmas tree, which we just lit the other night. You know, fantastic place for people to take their pictures here in Fox Square. It was set on fire last night. The guy who did it has been arrested. But what a sad day, Sid, when I came in and saw pretty much the whole Christmas tree burnt to a crisp.
Wow. I mean, it was that bad? The damage burnt to a crisp?
Pretty much all that, the half of it was completely burnt. So they're going to take it down. We're going to rebuild.
Oh, my God.
But how sad. You know, it says so much that somebody would, you know, light fire to a Christmas tree last night.
Mm.
You know, I'm getting upset just thinking about it. I'm so grateful to the police and our security here and, of course, the FDNY who put the fire out. But it's just, you know, that's just a tale of what's happening here in New York.
Jeez.
Right now.
Well, I'm glad they arrested Don Lemon. He won't be on the air tonight, but we got him. That's good news. I'm only kidding. It wasn't Don Lemon. Could have been, but it wasn't him.
I love you, buddy.
Hey, Janice, I love you, too. Great job this morning. Thank you for hopping on. Continued good luck with the Cuomos. It is a worthy, worthy cause, especially for you. And Merry Christmas. I'll see you one of these days coming up. How about that?
I would love that. Let's set a date, my friend.
All right. That's the great Janice Dean. You can watch her this morning and every morning. She's really terrific on Fox News, meteorologist, news lady as well. And, of course, no one more personal than this Andrew Cuomo, Chris Cuomo story than Janice. She's got the personal story, again, losing both of her in-laws because of Andrew Cuomo's murderous policies. All right, folks, traffic and sports are coming up next, but right now it's the 77 WABC clip of the day. Listen to my guy Greg Kelly today and every weekday afternoon, 1:15 to 3 p.m. Here, Greg talks about Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci, when he was working for the federal government, said you could get AIDS through normal household contact, which is not true. But that idea helped fuel anti-gay hysteria. That's a problem. Dr. Fauci has been wrong throughout his career. The thing that the fake news does not understand about Fauci, all right, more than a doctor, he is a bureaucrat. He's just a bureaucrat.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Let's start with the baskets last night. The Brooklyn Nets on the road in Minnesota. They got 24 from Kevin Durant, 23 from James Harden, and they beat Minnesota 102-99. The Nets improved to 17-7 on the young season. The Knickerbockers, they've really been struggling. They got a big win last night. They win easily. Beat the San Antonio Spurs 121-109. They're back to 500 at 12-12. And the hero last night for the Knicks was the Duke product, R.J. Barrett.
Barrett from three. That's a career high. 7. 3-point field.
Do you see that you find more space from 3-point range?
Yeah, for sure. I also think Julius draws so much attention. And, you know, Derek drives and went quick and everybody's driving. It draws attention and I end up, you know, wide open. So I just got to continue to knock them down.
In the hockey game last night, on the ice, I should say, the Islanders got their first win, folks, in a month. Literally, they beat the Ottawa Senators 5-3. While the New York Rangers, my team, they remain red hot. They won their 7th in a row. Beat the Blackhawks last night 6-2. And there he is again, 3rd in the NHL in goals. Got his 17th of the season on the power play last night. Here's Chris Kreider.
Looking to Strome. He centered it. Panarin holds it. Fox can't find a lane. Now trying to shot. They score. Redirect in front of that. Chris Kreider. just scored his 10th power play goal of the year, 17th overall. He's near the league lead in both departments. The Rangers in front.
Panarin also scored twice, his 8th and 9th for the Hockey Blue Shirts. Later on tonight, the Flyers in New Jersey taking on Joe Nolan's Devils, and the Rangers will host the Avalanche at Madison Square Garden. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Check them out today and every day. PeerlessBorders.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers with sports. Oh, these are my buddies, Instinct. My boys. You know, I became very friendly at one point with Chris Kirkpatrick. He's the least known of all of them. You know, you got who's the fat kid again? Joey Fatone. Fat one. There you go. You got, of course, the most famous of all, Bass, right?
Timberlake.
Oh, Justin. Oh, my God. How could I forget that? Justin Timberlake, you're right. Then Lance Bass. Then Joey Fatone. Kirkpatrick is the least famous. He's the fourth guy. But he used to hang out with...
Is he the one with the beard, or is he the one...
Yeah. So he was friends with O.J. McDuffie, very famous wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. Dan Marino was go-to guy for a couple of years. And when I got to Florida, when I got fired, and I thought my career was over, and I was given another opportunity by a station, 790 The Ticket, I was doing the morning show. A guy named Dan Levitard, you've heard of Danny, he did the afternoon show. In fact, his co-host on that show, John Stugatz Wiener, was the program director, and I knew Stugatz from the Hank Goldberg days, so he hired me. But they paired me up, my first job in Florida, with O.J. McDuffie. That was my partner. And Kirkpatrick and McDuffie were buddies. So we would go to Super Bowls together, and Kirkpatrick got into every party, Playboy party, Maxim party. Back then, those were the hot parties. And he would get me into all of them. And he was cool. He's a nice guy, you know? So that's my Instinct story. It's not a great one, but it works. Anyway, folks, 77 WABC's third holiday radiothon for the kids at Cohen Children's Medical Center is coming up next Friday, December the 17th. You know, I talked in the first segment about how the intrinsic reward yesterday was so massive for me and Gabby Lopez, walking around with Tony Oso and JL Blessings up and down 7th and 8th Avenue, giving out backpacks to the homeless. I get the same feeling at the radiothon. 2 years ago, me and Bernie were live at the hospital. COVID now has forced us to do this radiothon the last 2 years from the studios. Once again this year, Margaret Josephs and Joe Beningo, Real Housewives of New Jersey, will join us. They're always very, very kind. And we're going to do it again coming up in 2 weeks. But here's the good news. You don't have to wait until December 17th to donate to the kids today. Help make a Christmas gift big for these kids today by donating. Just text the word HERO, H-E-R-O, to 51555. That's HERO, H-E-R-O, to 51555 and start donating today. Today, the Radiothon again coming up Friday, December the 17th for Cohen Children's Medical Center. 6:44 on your Wednesday morning. Bernard is out today. He's getting some tests done, a pelvic test, a bone test, all leading up to his biopsy on Tuesday. He'll be out Tuesday as well, and maybe one more day next week. And then before you know it, folks, we're down to 11 shows. We'll both be out for Christmas and New Year's. So you got me today. We just spoke to Janice Dean, Fox News. She was great. Coming up between 7:40 and 9 o'clock this morning, how about this trio? Congressman Peter King, Newsmax's Sean Spicer, and hopefully for his sake, even though we like the competitor, Nicole Malliotakis, Max Rose, all coming up between 7:40 and 9 o'clock this morning. You'll also get Lydia Reports coming up at 8:25, and no Beat Bernie today because Bernie's not here. So another major news story, besides the Putin-Biden phone call yesterday, is still Omicron. And this nonsense, this variant, this virus doesn't go away. I mean, enough already. Enough. You know, I saw something on the New York City message board yesterday. They were taking Rudy Giuliani to task because he kept calling it Omicron, which Bernie did for 2 days as well. Remember that first day? I'm like, Bernie, there's no N. Omicron, Omicron. So everybody does it. people get upset. I don't know why. It's stupid. Because it's about as stupid as this variant is, which nobody is getting sick from and nobody is dying from. Yes, there are cases popping up, and you know what? Your nose runs for about 5 minutes. You make one big duty, and boom, that's the end of it. That's it, folks. No one's dying from this nonsense. But they still run with it, of course, and people still get nervous, you know. So now, out in Los Angeles, this is unbelievable. A story surfaced yesterday. It's hard to believe that the schools out in L.A. are actually vaccinating kids, you ready for this, without their parents' consent. Let me tell you something. If any one of the two schools that, quote-unquote, teaches my daughter Ava or my son Gabriel did something like that, I am telling you, I'm going to jail. I've been to jail already. It's not horrible. I got to be honest. This time of year, it's warm. You get a decent sandwich. Well, maybe not decent. It sucks, but it's food and an orange aid, and you're good to go. I'm going to jail. No one is sticking a needle in my kid's arm without my consent. Nobody. Nobody. Here is the story. This is local L.A. News talking about, once again, the L.A. school system vaccinating children without their parents' consent.
At least two parents in the L.A. Unified School District are accusing schools of giving their kids the vaccine without their consent. Maribel Duarte says that her 13-year-old son, a student at the Barack Obama Global Prep Academy in South L.A., brought home this vaccine card after getting the shot at school. And she says that he said yes when somebody offered the vaccine in exchange for some pizza.
It hurt it to know that he got a shot without my permission, without me even knowing or signing any papers for him to get the shot.
LAUSD says student matters are confidential and wouldn't comment specifically, but did say it's a program and it's meant to ensure several steps are in place for vaccinated students to get prizes. All students 12 and above in the district have to be vaccinated by January 10th, or they could be forced back into virtual online learning.
You know, I was looking forward to playing that audio because I can't believe they would do that. And yet, all I can think about is the name of the school. The Barack Obama, what is it?
The Barack Obama, I missed the second half of it because I was too busy laughing.
Barack getting a school named after him. That's kind of a big deal. Well, there are folks, of course, that continue to blame the unvaccinated for everything. Howard Stern wishes death on these people. You know the whole story. Joe Rogan, the Howard Stern. Look, I've been over this a million times on this show. I do quite a bit of shows solo because Bernie does take some time off and he's got some medical issues. And I rail against folks that don't get the vaccination. I don't wish them dead. You know, I don't. I just think it's stupid. We've been over this before already a million times. I'm not going to take phone calls on it. Don't bother calling. I just think it's stupid. Now, if you've got a medical issue and taking the vaccine can kill you, don't take it. Don't take it. If there's a medical issue, don't take it. But if it's religion, stop it. Get the shot. If it's, well, government's not going to tell me what to do, stop it. Grow up. Get the shot. Right? I've said this, what, a million times? I don't want the government telling me what to do either. I can't stand any mandates. It's un-American. Vaccine mandate, mask mandate, shove it up your ass. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But the fact is, the government tells you what to do every day. On some level, the government tells you what you can and cannot do every day. So get the damn shot and shut up. Kyrie Irving, get the damn shot, get back on the court and shut up. That's how I feel. But I don't hate these people. People like Sonny Hostin on The View, she hates the unvaccinated, and she's blaming Omicron on them.
Well, you know, it was interesting to me that the argument was being made, if you're vaccinated, why do you care about me being vaccinated? You're protected. And that's why we are at the Omicron variant, right? That's why we are where we are, because it's mutating. It's becoming this crazy superbug inside of the people that aren't vaccinated.
Right. Tell them, Sonny. I mean, if you're going to talk about the damn thing, you should know the name of it, you moron. Jeez. I mean, she happens to be cuter than Joy Behar or Whoopi Goldberg, but she's still stupid. So de Blasio, of course, his mandate started yesterday, this creep. Thank God he's down to a couple of weeks, and that'll be the end of that. And we can only hope to God that Eric Adams, you know, I'm giving Eric Adams, you notice this lately, Justin, I hated Eric during his campaign. The Farrakhan stuff came out, and he was too cowardly to come on this show and face me. Bottom line, not Bernie as much, me. And, of course, I was all in for Curtis Sliwa. So I really maligned Eric Adams much of the campaign. But, just like I did with Trump, I was with Bernie in 2016. I voted for Hillary. It was a big mistake. I admit that now in retrospect. And the day that Trump won, I said, good for Donald. Good luck. Let's get this done. And he turned out to be a great president. I'm hoping it's the same with Eric Adams. I really am. And he reverses all these idiotic decisions that de Blasio has made. So, of course, he has mandated vaccines for kids to go to a restaurant. Five-year-old kids must show a vaccine passport. How nonsensical is that? But, of course, not for school. And you had to explain that. So after going on MSNBC, announcing this nonsense with Joe Amico a couple of days ago, he was on with John Berman, CNN, yesterday. Here is de Blasio explaining the difference between why he thinks kids should be vaccinated to go into a restaurant, but not to go to school.
Talk to me about the consistency, the intellectual consistency with requiring vaccinations for kids to go into restaurants, but you're not requiring it to go into schools.
Yes, I can tell you that for sure. Look, we all would love it when people go to our restaurants or our movie theaters, but those are obviously for fun, for enjoyment. A school is absolutely basic to a child and their development, their future. I don't want to hold against a child if their parent doesn't take the time to get them vaccinated.
There he is, Bill de Blasio. So we explained it. You feel better now, Justin?
No, not really.
Okay.
Do you?
No. I mean, I actually do feel a little better, me personally, but not because of this moron, but I'm about 85% now. I finished my Z-Pack, thanks to Jen, who I love. And Dr. Mark Siegel was on with me Friday when I was solo again, and I really felt awful after that beautiful Margot Katsimatidis birthday party. You saw me on Friday. That was a struggle.
Yeah, you were going to die.
I put on a great show. Great. I mean, I have 9,000 comments, but I was sick as a dog. So Dr. Mark Siegel was on, and not only did he come on the show, but he actually prescribed for me a stronger antibiotic than the Z-Pack. And I'm eating those like they're jujubes at a movie theater. I mean, I'm a junkie anyway. You know, I'm a reformed addict, drinking and drugs. I don't do that stuff anymore. But given the opportunity to take pills, I don't know, I'll take it.
So. Well, listen, I mean, if it's going to be a substance, it might as well be a substance that gets you back to 100%.
Exactly. So I'm going to say I've been hovering around 65%. Now, mind you, I go to the gym every day, sex, I mean, everything. Good to go. No issues. Zero. And I've got a ton of very complimentary texts this morning on how I look today, which is very nice, especially our numerologist friend out in Los Angeles who wakes up early every morning. But I'm about 60-65%. Today I'm hovering around 80%. So I'm getting there.
Slowly but surely, yeah, you're getting there. I mean, what do we say? I mean, by Friday maybe you'll be at 100%.
Oh, what's the difference? You don't care. We've been over this a million times. Not one text. Again, yesterday, the opportunity to text me and Bernie, and neither one of us got a text from any one of you bastards. Any one of you. Not Mike Garcia, not Luke Legrano, not Justin Ehrlich, not Frankie Hadakoff Diaz. Nobody. Nobody cares. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. What a great guest list about to come your way. Congressman Peter King, Newsmax star Sean Spicer, and Max Rose, all coming on the show today. Keep it right here, the Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid. Maybe my favorite one yet. Keep it going. Sleep in a heavenly peace. Wow. That's my favorite one right here. Margot Ray with Silent Night as we, again, Leslie Slender coming up big at 6:57 on your Wednesday morning. Merry Christmas. Somebody also, Cheeseburger, sent me some Instagram DM. At Rosenberg.Sydney. That's my Instagram. At Rosenberg.Sydney. The show is at It's Bernie and Sid. And he said, you can't say Merry Christmas yet. Usually you start saying that a couple of days before. And F you. I'll say what I want. I mean, I don't care. I like the guy. You're a great guy. But don't tell me what to say. I don't care. I start saying Merry Christmas once Santa comes out. the Thanksgiving Day parade, Macy's, once Santa comes out and waves to everybody, Merry Christmas. Why not?
Well, you have to say Happy Holidays as well.
I don't have to say anything.
Well, why not? Not everybody celebrates Christmas.
Well, yeah, my Jewish friends, I say Happy Hanukkah. My Goyish friends, I say Merry Christmas.
Oh, so you keep it very specific.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do that, yes. I shouldn't do that?
No, I think that's good.
I had this neighbor in Florida, and his name was Tommy, and he sold radio ads for Clear Channel, and he lived on my block in South Florida. And I didn't work for Clear Channel down there, but he did. We became pretty good friends. He's a single guy, lived in like a $1.5 million house, you know. And he decorated this thing like a house in Bay Ridge. I mean, to the nth, he decorated this house. And he was never home on the weekends. He would go to Key Largo. He would go to Key West. He'd party on Fort Lauderdale. I'm sure he was all coked up and drunk, the whole thing, you know. He never took down his Christmas decorations. Never. So we put them up in November, and it was beautiful. I loved it. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Tommy's house. It was beautiful. And then it was like, you know, it's like the start of baseball season, and Santa is still on his lawn. And I walked by, and he used to have a dog, Lucy. She's dead now, but I love Lucy. And I remember one time I actually had Lucy make on his lawn on purpose. Just so he would come outside and complain. And I'm like, I'm going to have her make on your lawn every day until you take down the damn Santa. It's April. And he didn't take it down until July. But anyway, Mike Garcia, what's going on, pal?
How you doing, Sid? I'm ready for Friday, actually.
Why? What's going on Friday?
Well, as you know, you want your son to actually come on my podcast.
I don't want him to do anything. No. You have to understand. This is what is great about it. This is great news for you. I don't care if he does your podcast or not. He is dying to do your podcast. That's Gabriel, not me. That's all Gabe. He loves you.
All right, then I misspoke. He absolutely loves it.
Yes, he does, and he wants to talk about Spider-Man, so he's coming on Friday.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to set you guys up on a phone call later on today.
Let's do it.
All right. Just talk about Spider-Man. Don't talk about anime, porn, whatever else you do. I don't know. UFC, all that nonsense. Don't do that, okay? I'm begging you.
I promise I'll keep it as professional as possible.
All right. And I trust you because this is my son's. He's done my radio show many times, but never any other podcast. So you'll be his first. So congratulations.
That'd be awesome. All right. Let's do it.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. He's very excited. Thank you. It's a good team I've got here. Justin Ellick and Luke Legrano and Mike Garcia. Very, very good team. What a great hour, huh, folks?
Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
Right, it's only 1 of 4. Come on, folks. Put that seatbelt on. More of Sid after more of Margot Ray.
Love's pure light. So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. Merry Christmas.
John Lennon, and so this is Christmas. This song specifically should resonate today, and I'll tell you why momentarily. You can leave it playing there, Justin. Coming up at 7:25, Bill O'Reilly's morning message, and the great Congressman Peter King makes his weekly Wednesday visit coming up at 7:40. Why would this song today, John Lennon, and So This Is Christmas, why should it resonate? And I'll tell you why. Let me take you back. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 41 years ago. Little Sidney Ferris Rosenberg, sitting in his kitchen, watching Monday Night Football with his dad, Harvey, who's gone, and I miss him. May have been a black and white TV back then, I don't remember, but it had those, like the antenna was a hanger, you know how that works. Monday Night Football, the Patriots taking on the Miami Dolphins. At the time, I am 13 years old. 13. Just bar mitzvah. Just months prior. And we're watching this game between the Dolphins and the Patriots. Again, 41 years ago. The year would have been 1980, which was a very, very significant year. You know, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, the U.S. Olympic team won the gold, all that stuff. And all of a sudden, late in this game, with the game on the line, an important AFC East matchup, one of the most famous breaking news announcements in the history of television. I'm not going to say it's Walter Cronkite, that Kennedy just got assassinated, but it was close. All of a sudden, on a Monday night football game, the all-time great Howard Cosell, who to this day I still love and revere and idolize, Howard Cosell comes on the television broadcast as he's doing the game, I believe, with Frank Gifford and I want to say it was Don Meredith. And he tells America and the world this awful news.
Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous perhaps of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival. Howard Cosell, John Lennon, Dakota, west side of Manhattan, not far from where I live right now. Mark David Chapman with a copy of the book Catcher in the Rye in his pocket, just unprovoked after getting an autograph from John Lennon, I believe, that same night, hours earlier, outside that same apartment, walked up and shot him in the back and killed him 41 years ago today. And I remember... I wasn't a big Beatles fan as a kid, even though I've got two older sisters who were, Alana and Ray Sherry, and they both liked the Beatles. I remember seeing Beatles albums. Back then there were albums, of course, records, in my house. I never a big Beatles fan. I was, again, 13 years old. But I went to Poly Prep at the time, which, you know, of course I went there. Guys like Arthur Idala, Joe Tacopina, and others. And I remember there was this one kid who I've never mentioned, I don't think, in 40 years. And his name was Stepan Smith. Big kid with a blonde hair. And, you know, one of the guys I didn't hang out with because if you weren't Italian and your father wasn't a mobster or a wannabe mobster, I had no interest in you. I like those kids, you know, the tough kids. This kid, Stepan Smith, was just by his name, you can tell. There was no vowel at the end of his name. And the next day in school, he was hysterical crying, you know. And I said to Stepan, I go, bro, what's going on? I mean, I felt badly, you know. He said, well, John Lennon died. And I said, the guy from the Beatles, right? He's like, yeah. He goes, John Lennon died. And I just had no reaction. Again, I was 13. I didn't appreciate it at the time. Now, 41 years later at 54, I'm still not going to be crying, but I certainly appreciate what John Lennon meant to music and just Americana. I get all of that, but when I went to the Poly that morning, I saw a kid my age crying. I mean, just hysterical over John Lennon. I still to this day don't understand that. I don't remember when I was 13, outside of like a really close family member dying, I don't know if I ever would have cried over somebody else when I was 13.
No, I mean, way.
No, and I cry over everything. Bernie makes fun of me all the time, and so does my wife and my other friends and other people because there are movies, when I tell you I cry, I mean, remember Ben Stiller in the movie Something About Mary?
Yeah, of course.
When Carmen Diaz broke up with him and he's walking down the street, he's like, ah!
That was a bit much.
But that's me every time. I could be watching Brian's Song or The Flintstones. It's the same reaction. It doesn't matter.
Well, with 13-year-olds, though, it's two ends of the spectrum. There's no in-between. They're either overly emotional or they're not emotional at all.
Yeah, but I'm an emotional, sensitive kid. I couldn't understand why John Lennon evoked that emotion, but with adults, my sisters, teenagers, that I got. Strawberry Fields, of course, still there in Central Park, was inundated with flowers and messages, and I believe still is on this date exactly, right? I mean, I got to thank Frankie Diaz, our news guy today, that if you go there today, 41 years later, that you will see a bunch of folks still dropping off flowers and notes for the now long-deceased John Lennon, even today. In fact, I may do that. You know, I live here now again, obviously, after spending the better part of 21 years, 16 of 21 years in Boca Raton, Florida. And I always say this, when I came back in January of 2016 to work with Bernard, we're going on 6 years. Our anniversary is coming up January 27th, will be 6 years. I've come back as sort of a tourist, if you will. You know, I never did a lot of these things because I just lived here. I lived in Brooklyn. It was, you know, go to the city and all that. And now I'm doing things that tourists would do. And I think maybe today I'll walk on over to Strawberry Fields and see if, in fact, there is a lot of folks for John Lennon.
I'm willing to bet there will be. I've never been to Strawberry Fields.
Have you ever been to Central Park?
Yeah, of course. It's a big park.
Well, yeah, but what do you do there? Like, I run in the park once in a while. Or what do you do? What does Justin Ellick do in Central Park?
I'm just curious. Sit on the, you know, on the green, and I, whatever. We lay out a blanket. We'll do a picnic.
You and your girlfriend, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, smoke weed, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You sip, smoke, you know, a, do you
sip
smoke
on some whiskey, whatever, maybe.
How often do you smoke weed? I'm just curious.
What do you mean? As often as any 25-year-old does.
Every day?
No.
A couple times a week?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that.
Who smokes more weed, you or Mike Garcia? I think Mike has to win that.
You think?
I don't know for a fact, but if I had a bet, I used to be a gambling man. I would put, and I lost every bet I ever made. So, but I put my money on Mike Garcia. I think Mike smokes, and I don't know this. He's never.
It's a strong accusation.
Yeah, I know it is. It's probably not even. It's probably racist in nature, but I don't know. I feel like Mike. You smoke a lot of weed.
What are you, a bigot?
I'm not anything. This is just my gut feeling. I don't know. Am I wrong, Mike?
I mean, you could be right. I mean, who knows?
See, there you go. So I'm not wrong. You could be right is basically saying I am right. And I don't care. I don't care. I mean, it's a waste, and it does destroy whatever good brain cells you've got left, and I don't get it. I was watching Vanderpump Rules last night. 54 years old. I'm watching Vanderpump Rules on the Bravo channel. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I wasn't watching Greg Kelly. I wasn't watching Tucker Carlson. I'm watching Vanderpump Rules. And there's one kid on the show, this kid, James. I like this kid. He, in real life, his girlfriend and him just broke up because he used to be the boyfriend of this girl, Lala, who in real life just broke up with her husband. So now get ready. I'm promising you folks, if you follow this nonsense, you're going to see in page 6 in a couple of weeks that James and Lala are back together because they both broke up with their respected mates. And they've always loved each other. But this kid was describing to his buddy last night how he's every day he's a wake and bake guy. And the guy was like, what does that mean? Some guy in AA, you know. And he goes, that means every morning I wake up and smoke a joint. And the guy's like, why? He's like, that's just how I start my day. And I was like the guy, I'm like, why? I mean, I did tons of drugs in my life, tons. But why wake up every day and smoke a joint? What is that about?
Then your day's over by 10 p.m. Then you're back asleep. By 11:30 latest, if you do that.
Is that true?
Yeah. What do you? I mean, you know, you're not going to smoke a joint and then get up and go.
Well, these guys
cancer.
Do. No, these guys do. I mean, I got a cousin. I'm not going to say his name down in Florida, who is a hugely successful stockbroker out of Hewlett, now living in Boca. He's been waking and baking for 40 years, and he's very productive. He's a multimillionaire. I just think it's still. Do you do that, Mike?
No. Every time, if I would ever do that, I would definitely get the munchies all day, and that's just, I would look like you. Just like, maybe not fat, but just big, I enjoy my skinny self.
Wait a second. I'm muscular. I'm not fat. I don't look like I eat a lot of food. I look like I work out a lot and do steroids. That's a big difference, no? Well, you look like me. I don't understand that.
All right, then beg to differ.
Right, okay. This podcast has to be one. I can't wait to hear this.
He's pushing his luck, no?
No, I like Mike. It's okay. It's okay. I did miss him last week when he was out, so that says a lot.
And let me tell you, I miss you guys too, because let me tell you, my vacation sucked, and we don't have to get into that.
Let's get into it right now, Mike. Why'd your vacation suck? What happened?
Well, the fact is that when you travel with a bunch of people
who
and they want to do something.
Who were these people, Mike?
My girlfriend's friends.
Did your girlfriend come too?
Yes, she did.
How many people in total, Mike?
7 in total.
And what's your girlfriend's name?
Her name is Sophia.
And there were guys or girls?
There were 4 girls, 3 guys in total.
Okay. And you don't like these friends?
It's not that I don't like them. I just don't like to do everything
with them.
Every single
you
day.
You want to be alone with your girl?
I'm an introvert. Absolutely.
Right. Are you an introvert?
Oh, yes.
You know, I have this fight with Danielle all the time. She claims she's an introvert, you know. And she can't walk, walks into my lobby in my building and spends an hour talking to the doorman and parks her car at a parking lot on Broadway and spends 45 minutes talking to the guy who parks her car. I go, you don't get it. That's not an introvert. I mean, introverts only talk when they have to. You know, if you're at a party and you're talking to some stranger for 20 minutes, you're not an introvert. She says, yeah, but I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. I go, that's fine. Introverts just can't do it. So you may be socially uncomfortable, maybe even, she's not awkward, but you're not an introvert if you talk to people. So, Mike, you're on radio. You're not an introvert, buddy. You're not.
Well, there's a different term for it because introverts can talk to people. It's just
they're uncomfortable.
Yes and no. Well, it's to the point where, okay, we get uncomfortable, but we grasp it to a point.
Okay. But you're not going to believe when I tell you this. I'm an introvert. And I get made fun of, my own kids, my family. I'm an introvert. I will go to events, 3-4 events a week, and I'm telling you this right now, I hate them. I hate them. I'm uncomfortable. I just want to go home. I want to watch TV. I want to be by myself, with my family, of course. I hate them. I don't like I've been booked to do a New Year's Eve party, for example, coming up, and the thought of being with all these people all around me and my wife, I hate it. I can't stand it. So even though I'm a radio TV guy, I'm acting now, doing all these things which spit in the face of an introvert, I'm telling you, I am.
I don't believe you.
Well, whatever. No one else does either. God, I hate all of you. Mike, do you believe me?
Oh, I believe you. Yes.
I like Mike more.
Kiss ass.
You know how to run the board?
Oh, yeah.
Good. You can run the board the rest of the day. Justin, go home. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Janice Dean, Fox News, was great last hour. Again, coming up momentarily, you got Bill O'Reilly's morning message. That's always very enlightening. 740, Congressman Peter King. He's always a terrific guest. 805, Newsmax star Sean Spicer. He had Donald Trump on his show 2 days ago. He'll talk about the Biden-Putin meeting yesterday. Coming up at 8:40, making his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, local politician Max Rose. How about that one? And of course, more news throughout the day. We've already covered the Biden-Putin conversation from yesterday. We've covered the mandate stuff with the Omicron vaccines. We've covered that 41 years ago today, John Lennon was murdered outside of his building in New York City, as Howard Cosell said, dead on arrival. We'll take a short break. More of the Bernie and Sid Show, Sans Bernie with me, Sid, on this Wednesday morning, right after these words.
Bill O'Reilly here, and I'm warming up from the NRIA.net studios in New York. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. On this Wednesday, I am thinking about Pope Francis wrapping up a 5-day trip visiting the migrants trapped in the Mediterranean. European countries don't want them, so thousands of poor Africans and Middle Easterners languish in tents on assorted islands around the sea. The UN supplies life essentials, but it is a miserable existence, and the Pope's primary purpose on earth is to mitigate as much human suffering as he can. Quote from Francis, "I ask every man and woman, all of us, to overcome the paralysis of fear, the indifference that kills, the cynical disregard that nonchalantly condemns to death those on the fringes," unquote. And the Pope is correct. Most folks do not want to deal with poor people from faraway places. But there's another reality that the Pope does not want to confront. The source countries for desperate migrants are mostly corrupt, dangerous places all over the world. Of course they want to leave. Of course we should feel compassion for them. But it's impossible for established countries to give these folks safe harbor. Europe is essentially one giant cradle-to-grave entitlement continent. They can barely support their own people. Who's going to pay for the migrants? In the USA, we now have a $30 trillion debt on the books and millions of foreign nationals coming in here thanks to Mr. Biden's open border policy. We cannot afford it. The Pope is right to promote compassion for migrants, but the reality is brutal. That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
Aretha Franklin, Joy to the World at 7:26 on your episode, Hump Day Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid in the Morning. No Bernard today. He did have his stress test yesterday, and it went well. Today he's getting some bone tests and some pelvic tests. All this leading up to the biopsy coming on Tuesday. He'll miss Tuesday as well, and maybe one more day next week. He's fine. He's in good spirits. And we both think he's going to be okay. So I spoke to Bernie twice yesterday. He'll be back on the air tomorrow. But we've had a great hour and a half so far. Janis Dean was terrific. Fox News coming up in about 14 minutes. His weekly visit, he's always great. Congressman Peter King, 805, Sean Spicer, Newsmax TV, and 840, Max Rose. So we've talked an awful lot this morning about the Biden and Putin phone call yesterday. CNN is trying to convince me there were some tense moments. I don't buy that at all. We already heard Donald Trump. It's worth playing this again. Trump was on with Sean Spicer 2 days ago, and we'll play this for Sean coming up at 8:05. But Trump talked about what an unfair fight it is when a guy like Biden, who's feckless and he's a pussy. How else is he going to say it? So was Barack Obama. He was the same way. May have been an articulate speaker and a nice guy, but just a horrible, horrible foreign policy president. Biden, same thing here. Putin is a killer. It's an unfair fight. If you don't believe me, here's Trump on Spicer.
Now I see that Biden is going to be talking to Putin, and that's not a fair match. That wouldn't have been a fair match in prime time. This is not a fair match for our country. And the election was rigged, and it was stolen, and this is what we got. This is not a match that should even be allowed. This is... Take the New England Patriots playing your high school football team. That's what you have right now.
It is. There's no other way to put it. So CNN is trying to convince me, oh, there were tense moments. And Joe Biden said, let me tell you something, Putin. Let me tell you something. You invade Ukraine. And if you don't know, they've already amassed, the Russians, about 175,000 troops. And he may or may not invade Ukraine. I don't know. I think he's going to eventually. You know, eventually. But Biden's like, oh, I'll levy those economic sanctions on you, and it ain't going to be pretty. And Putin's like, just be quiet. Let me tell you something, buddy, okay? You're not going to expand NATO. You're not going to do it. And you're just going to sit there and shut up. And we'll make sure that Moscow mayor over there gets money into Hunter Biden's account every week. I mean, it's ridiculous when these networks try to make Joe Biden a tough guy when he's anything but that. We know that. So that was Donald Trump talking about him. We've already heard Jake Sullivan defend him. Here's Ted Cruz on more on the relationship between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin.
Joe Biden surrendered to Putin, waived the sanctions that had worked, and that is why we're facing the prospect of a Russian invasion on Ukraine. It is because of Biden's weakness.
What is that, Frankie Diaz? I'm sorry. Put your mic on.
What is it? Water bottle. I left it inside. I just realized I was thirsty.
Right. Okay, well, I've got the water bottle in front of me. I'm sorry that Ted Cruz didn't mention your water bottle during his Putin-Biden conversation, but if you could wait like one, well, come on and take it. Go ahead. No, come on. I don't want you to go thirsty or to go unquenched. Here's your water bottle. So we're going to talk to Peter King and Sean Spicer about this Putin-Biden phone call and really how Joe Biden is allowing countries like Russia and China and Iran to run the show. And as I said earlier, whether you liked President Trump or not, most of you who listen to this show loved him, loved him, loved him. Maybe there are some of you like me that really, really liked him, but didn't think he was perfect by any stretch. And maybe there's one or two of you out there that listen every day that didn't even like him. And that's okay. But you cannot argue that when he was president, our service folks weren't dying in Afghanistan. Russia wasn't going to invade anybody. China wasn't going to take Taiwan. The one thing China did do, of course, was unleash this horrible virus on the world, the China virus, while Trump was president. But, you know, he talked about it, the way he handled Putin, the way he handled Xi, the way he handled Rocket Man in North Korea. And he would even flatter these guys every now and then. And I'm okay with that. I like that. That's how you keep your enemies closer. He said, listen, Putin, I like Putin, but don't get me wrong. No one was tougher on Vladimir Putin than me. I got no issue with that. I've had people in my life that became intimidating forces, if you will, based upon relationship that I respect and like to this day. And they said some horrible things to me, but I respect them and like them because truth be told, I was in the wrong. Now, look, when you take it too far, then you become a jerk off. No other way to put it. That's what you become. But you can respect somebody even though you may disagree, and they may have the worst intention in mind for you. Does that make sense, Justin?
Yeah, I think it does. There's a, it's a very fine line.
Right.
And I think what Trump did well was he teetered it, you know?
He
did. Obviously, as you've said several times, there are a few times when he says things that are out of line, but
stupid.
everybody does it. What do you, who doesn't do
it? Quite frankly, stupid. But that he, man, I miss him. We did my Donald Trump chapter yesterday with Johnny Russo. Not we did it. I added more meat to the bone, if you will, because my publisher, my editor, from my book, which will be out Father's Day, hopefully 2022, Citizens United, my second book, and they just wanted some more meat on the bone. So we added to the Trump chapter yesterday, and Bernie would have been proud. It was like one long oral session. That's all it was. Bashing Biden and missing Trump. That's all it was.
So, you had a critical moment, as Bernie would put it?
I wouldn't say critical. I would say sexual, orgasmic. If you're a Trump fan, you'll love it. You're going to love this stuff.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. And man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time, huh? What? What? Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. You guys in trouble out here.
Well, that was Donald Trump, 45. That's courtesy of Sean Spicer, who will join us coming up in about 20 minutes at 8:05 and Newsmax. That brings on our next guest, who I can say this with zero hesitation and complete confidence. He is our favorite politician ever, Peter King, the congressman out of Long Island, who has since stepped away after four magnificent decades, but is a part of this show every Wednesday, is a major part of our radio station, and continues to be one of the more intelligent voices of reason in this crazy political world today. You know, I get guys that call up, they go, oh, I noticed when Bernie's not there, you bring on Max Rose. Yeah, there's a reason for that. These guys are not very comfortable walking into a place for the first time and getting hit with a bat. So I kind of make it a little easier on them the first time. Then we slug them. So that's the deal, folks. I don't care whether you like it or not. Real radio hosts talk to both sides. You know, I remember when Sean Hannity had Bill de Blasio on, and everybody was complaining because he was too nice to him. That's the job. The job is not to scare away folks after one visit. And I think, Peter King, I think you would agree with that. You know, you came on this show last week. You went to an event last week talking about bipartisanship. What good is bringing on a guy like Max Rose and hitting him over the head so he never comes back?
Yeah, listen, first of all, it's great to be with you. I hope Bernie does well. He's a great guy.
Yes.
Now, listen, my feeling is that you should try to work with the other side. You should go after them when you think they're wrong. But you're right. If you want to get something started, you start off on a friendly basis. You try to find things you agree on, and then you go from there. I mean, you know, everything doesn't have to be a fight, but everything doesn't have to be phony love either. So,
right.
No, I have no problem with what you're doing to me, to have anybody you want on your show. And again, whether it's Max Rose, and I'm going to strongly oppose him if he runs against Nicole.
Me too.
The fact is, we shouldn't be like in opposite corners all the time. And if you're not afraid of the enemy, bring them on, give them a chance, and then go back at them if you have to.
I mean, look, I'm going to make it very clear at the very top of the conversation, Peter, that I endorse Nicole. I'll endorse her again. And, you know, Max has been guilty, I guess, of marching with BLM, which everybody knows I am not a fan of BLM. I don't want to hear the preface. Well, I'm there for the idea. Enough of that already. I get. Now, he didn't want to defund the police. I don't believe he wanted to do that. Outside of that, I mean, on just about every issue, I agree with Nicole, too. That doesn't mean Max doesn't deserve a voice, right?
Now, listen to me. Everybody should get a voice, but they have to be able to defend themselves. And I think, you and Bernie handle it the right way. I mean, going back to when Bernie was with Imus, they would have Bill Clinton on 1 week, Bob Dole on another week.
That's
right. And Donald Trump on another week after that. So, I mean, no, to me, what you guys do is the right thing. We need more of that in radio today. You can't just have people living in silos, living in their own echo chambers. Bring the other guy on. Bring the other woman on. Go at it and, let the people decide.
Agreed. Now, Peter, of course, yesterday, you heard what Donald Trump said there. I was tough on Putin, but I like him, which is always, I think that's smart to keep your enemies closer. You can flatter your enemy as long as you remain tough with them. Putin and Biden had their conversation yesterday. CNN is trying to convince her audience all morning that that conversation became tense at times. I'm not buying that, are you?
No, and to me, it almost doesn't matter at the stage exactly what Joe Biden said. It's whether or not Putin believes him. If he did threaten Putin, is Putin going to believe him? And, you know, going back to Donald Trump, I mean, he got a very, first of all, the whole Russia collusion thing was a hoax. But as president, he was tougher on Russia. I mean, basically, you know, Obama, President Obama, when Ukraine was being attacked, he gave them blankets, literally. That's all he would give their military is blankets. Donald Trump gave them lethal weapons. He gave the Ukrainians lethal weapons to use. When, you know, the pipeline, he stopped that pipeline in Europe. And actually down in Syria, Russia had a group of irregular soldiers down there who work in Syria. Donald Trump authorized them to be blown apart. So, I mean, he was very, very tough when it came to Russia. As far as yesterday's meeting, you know, these, I don't have faith in Joe Biden. I want to. Listen, he's our president. If he goes bad, it's bad for all of us. So I'm not trying to, in any way, wish him ill on this. But we want him to be strong. But on the other hand, when you look at what's happened, I mean, basically, he stopped the sanctions on Russia. He allowed them to go ahead with the pipeline. He looked so bad in Afghanistan. And I just think that Putin thinks that he can take advantage of Biden. And so it's going to be, does Putin believe Biden? Nobody doubted that Donald Trump would do whatever he had to do. Nobody doubted, quite frankly, that going back to Richard Nixon, when he faced down the Russians during the 1973 Yom Kippur War, basically threatened nuclear action. People believed him. I just don't know if Putin is going to believe Biden, because he seems to be all over the lot, very weak, very vacillating. And that's the real issue we have right now.
No, I know he's not going to believe him. I can guarantee you that. And it's not just Russia. It's China. Right. It's Iran. You name any country out. Now, of course, Iran is not nearly as dangerous or as big as Russia and China, but they've got nukes. You name any country out there that has their designs on expanding territory and or making life miserable for the Americans. And right now, Peter, the truth is they're licking their chops.
Yeah, and that's why you have countries like Israel have to start taking action on their own. And they are doing it, but it would be so much better if the United States was coordinating all this. But instead, Iran sees a power vacuum in the Middle East. Russia is seeing a power vacuum now in Eastern Europe and Ukraine. China is seeing a power. Well, hopefully we can. China, I have a little more faith. I think they are taking positive steps regarding Taiwan. But other than that, I mean, China still is willing to expand, wants to expand. But Russia, to me, I see the big issue now is what happened to Russia and Ukraine and also Iran. Because even though Iran is not the same level of threat as Russia and China, they are a powerful force in a very dangerous part of the world.
Yes.
And again, with all of that, you know, now you have oil is becoming a big issue again because Joe Biden has stopped so much of the American oil drilling. I mean, he stopped the pipeline.
Right.
He stopped the drilling in Alaska.
Yep.
He stopped the drilling in federal properties and lands. So we now went from energy independence to energy dependent, and that's going to scare Europe because if Russia starts cutting up oil to them, they know that the U.S. cannot replenish that. So now we're in a tough spot. And it's all because of Joe Biden.
Right. And, I mean, Europe, I believe Germany gets about 35% of their oil from Russia. So they're not going to come with us and defend us against them. And, you know, you mentioned Israel. You know, a couple of days ago, there was the big story in the New York Post, Peter King, the great Congressman Peter King, how Israel is blowing up nukes all over Iran. They don't care. They are taking matters into their own hands. And you know why that's the case. If Donald Trump was president, they wouldn't be doing that because we'd be doing that. But with Biden, they have zero confidence that he cares enough about them to protect them. So now the Israelis are forced to defend themselves.
Well, almost from the day Joe Biden came into office, he was begging Iran to come back into the nuclear agreement
right.
with the U.S. I mean, that is a sign of weakness. And we're going to Iran begging them to go back into a treaty with us where they get the benefit of it. I mean, this makes no sense. This is absolute power diplomacy turned upside down. We need common sense, hard-hitting people there, and you're not getting it from Joe Biden. If I could put in a plug for a moment, I was talking to John Cass yesterday. Judge Richard Weinberg and I have a show. It's on 107.1.
Wow.
It's on every Saturday. It's called The Long Island Report. He's a House Democrat. I'm a House Republican. And it's, again, it's This Saturday we're going to be on from 4 to 5. It's WLAR 107.1. That's the sister station. And our main guest that day is going to be the new county executive, Bruce Blakeman. So anyway, wow. all your listeners, it's John Katsimatidis expanding his great empire. And now we're making a real move in Nassau and Suffolk counties, Long Island, 107.1. So that's my plug for the day.
That's a big deal. Now, first of all, don't be mad. I did speak to Laura Curran a couple of days ago, not Bruce Blakeman. He beat her. But I like both of them. I like Bruce and Laura, and I still think Laura lost because of Todd Kominsky, not necessarily because Bruce
actually,
had a great
Laura
campaign.
Actually, Laura's a very good friend of mine,
yes.
Very good friend of my daughter, and she's a very good person. I certainly
yes.
wish her the very best.
But you are just a star, a media star. You're on Bernie and Sid. You're on Katz's show. You got your own show on an FM station. I mean, you are the king. You really are the king at this point. Forget about me or Bernie. It's all about you.
I'm just riding in on your laurels, that's all.
Yeah.
I keep saying this. I'm not just saying to make you feel good. Everywhere I go, people say, hey, how Bernie is saying, how are those guys really? Are they really good guys? And I said, no, Bernie's a great guy, but Sid's a bad guy.
Sid's a jerk. I know you say that. Hey, you mentioned the whole Russia-Ukraine thing.
Right.
And I know Jake Sullivan, the NSA guy, is trying to convince people that Biden scares Putin. You ain't going to do nothing. And same thing with Biden. But we all know that's nonsense. I believe they've amassed about 175,000 troops
right.
now. Do you think it's just inevitable, not if, but when Russia invades the Ukraine?
If Putin believes that the U.S. will take action, I don't believe he will. But on the other hand, if he doesn't, listen, for us to take, we probably won't take military action. If we're talking about economic sanctions, yeah, that could concern Putin. But for them to be effective, all European countries have to go along with it. And now he has the upper hand with them as far as the supply of oil and gas. So we've weakened our position by us basically cutting back on our supplies of oil and gas, by allowing the pipeline to go forward, by strengthening Russia's position. We have weakened our position as far as the sanctions.
Right.
I mean, is Germany really going to go along with
No.
it? I hope they are, but are they, these other
No.
countries?
No, they're not.
You know,
No.
the cold winter coming up
No.
and Russia being able to cut off their energy? No, I don't think so.
I mean, actually, Putin, I believe, I read or I saw that one of his demands, because he's demanding stuff from Biden, one of his demands is don't even think about expanding NATO. You saw that?
Oh, yeah, that is a big issue with him. And as far as I'm concerned, Ukraine is an independent country. If they want to join NATO and NATO wants to accept them, that's between them. Russia should have nothing to say. And again, I think Ukraine would just be the first step. That's why I think countries like Poland are getting very concerned. The Czech Republic, you know, they are so close to Russia. They lived under Soviet tyranny for so many years. And NATO, in many ways, NATO is not the powerful force it used to be.
No.
Basically, NATO is the U.S., Britain, and a few others mainly. But the fact is that it's basically, you know, that's the leverage we do have if we use it right, but we weakened our leverage by allowing that pipeline to go forward, by ending economic sanctions on Russia. I mean, basically, what he's saying now, Joe Biden, the only weapon that he really has is the sanctions and stopping the pipeline. Well, that's what he gave them. All he can do is take back what he gave them earlier this year.
Right.
That shows how frivolous yeah. and feckless his policy was then.
Yeah, just do what Trump did, which is what he's doing in Mexico as well. Hey, on the way out, I know you signed the original lease at the Nassau Coliseum, which
right.
The lease, of course, had housed an Islander team that won 4 consecutive Stanley Cups. Those great Brian Trottier, Mike Bossy, Billy Smith teams. Now they're gone. They went to Brooklyn. That was a complete disaster. But now
yes.
they really have a home in Elmont. Will you go to a game in Elmont, or are you still showing up at the Nassau Coliseum hoping they get back?
Actually, I was having an opening night, and it was
you
great
were.
To be there. Yeah, I was talking to Clark Gillies, Bobby Nystrom. I mean, that was it was just great. The place was packed tight. It's a beautiful, beautiful arena. Listen, I like the Coliseum. I like that old barn look. But no, this arena is phenomenal. It's great. And the fans, you know, they are Islander fans. They just didn't belong in Brooklyn. I mean, the Cyclones belong in Brooklyn. The Dodgers always belonged in Brooklyn. The Islanders never did. It was a bad fit. But, no, that's a beautiful arena. And, listen, the Islanders have had a rough time. They had COVID. They have everything. You know, they are a solid organization, though. They're a solid team. They're really good in the community. And, you know, what's good? You get guys from years ago who played for the Islanders who never came from New York. They're still living there. Bobby Nystrom, Clark Gillies, Brian Trottier. I mean, these guys are, the Islanders are really part of the island fabric. They're great people. It's been a great franchise over the years, and that is a wonderful arena. I encourage everyone to go there And, it's Let's Go Islanders. When I was a kid in the city, I think there was 15,925 Ranger fans, because that's all the Garden held. Hockey was not a big sport then. And in Long Island, I don't think any kids played hockey now. Everywhere you go, there's hockey leagues.
Yep.
And I think the rivalry between the Islanders and Rangers is great.
Yep.
And we got to keep it going. And, again, beautiful arena.
Rangers have won 7 straight. Not to burst your Islander bubble, your beautiful memories of 1983, Peter, but Rangers have won 7 straight, just saying.
No, Rangers, listen, I'm a big Islander fan. I don't hate the Rangers. I want that rivalry to keep going.
Yep.
And, I go back with Rangers, the days of Gump Worsley and Andy Bathgate.
Nice.
Dean Prentice, all of that. Guys.
Yes, and I know for a fact that you danced with Ron Duguay at Studio 54 many times. Many times.
I'll leave that up to you.
Oh, okay. Hey, on the way out, but promote your show coming up on Saturday one more time. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay, it's WLIR 107.1. It's myself and Judge Richard Weinberg.
Oh, you have to start the show this Saturday.
The Long Island Report.
Right.
Actually, we started a few weeks ago. We're really hitting it off this Saturday.
Okay.
Bruce Blakeman is going to be our first major guest.
When you start the show this Saturday, I know you've been on for a couple of weeks, you must say to the judge, stop yelling at Sid's wife, Danielle. I don't know if you know this story, but many years ago, well, Danielle works for a firm in Great Neck now, a big-time lawyer, Abe Hamra.
But she was legal aid at one time, right?
That's right. And Judge Weinberg, she was in his court many times, and she contends that more than once he would yell at her, and she actually brought that to him when she first met him like a month and a half ago here in this building, and he says it didn't happen, but he's lying. So bring it up on Saturday, okay?
Yeah, actually, he mentioned it to me.
He did?
I think he made a partial admission. Yeah, that definitely his encounters with your wife certainly made an impression on him.
Oh, that's funny. As did yours. Danielle loves you and your wife Rosemary as well. So have a great day. Another spectacular appearance. We'll be listening on Saturday. Thank you so much, Peter.
Okay, Sid, give my best to Bernie.
I will. The best, Congressman Peter King. Still a lot more to do on this show, including Sean Spicer, Newsmax, had Trump on 2 days ago. He'll talk about that interview and the Putin-Biden conversation yesterday. Max Rose makes his debut, and as I talked about 40 minutes ago, 41 years ago on this date in New York City, one of the most memorable events ever, and it didn't end well. Bernie and Sid, sans Bernie, you've got Sid coming right back.
Now I see that Biden is going to be talking to Putin. And that's not a fair match. That wouldn't have been a fair match in prime time. This is not a fair match for our country. And the election was rigged and it was stolen. And this is what we got. This is not a match that should even be allowed. This is take the New England Patriots playing your high school football team. That's what you have right now.
Greeting cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through. But I still have one wish to make, a special one for you.
Jump in here, Justin.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Look at you, huh? Look at you. Happy. Oh, I thought it was Happy New Year, too.
Yeah, I don't know the words.
It's a nice song, though. But I Karen Carpenter. After Donald Trump, these mother effers burned down the Fox News All-American Christmas tree. We had Janice Dean on this morning, and she was very upset about all that. I am too. I originally thought they burned down the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree.
That would be a much bigger deal.
It would be a much bigger deal, of course. But as I said to Janice Dean, nobody saw Don Lemon leaving the scene, did they? See, that's a funny joke. Don Lemon burning down the tree. That's funny.
That's very funny. You're funny?
That's fine. But they did burn down the other tree, and Janice Dean said that Fox News were now to rebuild the All-American Christmas tree. You know, tonight is the Newsmax Christmas party. It's right across the street. If you don't know, our radio studios, John Catsimatidis, the legend built, God, I love him, right across the street from Newsmax, directly across the street. And that's why I hosted all those shows last year there, and I was great, to be honest. And tonight's the Christmas party. I was invited, but I'm not sure I'm going to go.
Well, that's it. So another
thing. Well, I'm tired.
Right. Another thing that you've committed to now that you're.
You
didn't commit to it?
Well, maybe I did. I don't know.
Oh, maybe you did.
If Spicer goes, I'll go. But he ain't going to. He's not even here, I think. He's in some other state. I don't know. All I know is he was Trump's. What was that job? Is it the press secretary? Yeah. He was good at that. Now he's great on Newsmax, him and Lindsey Keith. And I watch him every night, and I've been playing audio all morning long from Donald Trump on his show from two nights ago. So with that said, here he is, our friend from Dancing with the Stars, too, don't forget, Sean Spicer. Merry Christmas. How are you, Sean?
Good morning, Sid. And as they say on Saturday Night Live, live from New York, meaning I'm here. I look forward to seeing you tonight.
Oh, you are going to be there.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
Uh-oh.
And I heard that, you know, you just said if I'm going to be here. So I'm live here in New York, which means I look forward to see you.
Okay.
I'll get there early. I mean, I get it. You had a tough schedule to get up in early in the morning. So I'll get there early. I'll pass hors d'oeuvres with you or whatever. But, I'm looking forward to it. I didn't come up here for nothing. I didn't take that dollar bus for nothing.
So you came all the way here to do your great show. And, again, it's great. 6 o'clock every weeknight. Sean and Lindsay are terrific. You came here just for the Christmas party tonight. You had other business dealings in New York.
No, I came for you.
For me?
They gave me a list. They said, here's who's coming. I said, all right, I'm coming.
Look at this.
We had one in D.C. I got my Christmas party done in D.C. This is New York steel, but they said, here's who's going to be there. And I said, so you're serious. Sid's going to be there. And they said, yes.
Oh, my God.
I said, all right, well, I'm going to get on the dollar bus. I'm going to get off at Port Authority or whatever, and then I'm going to walk over.
Could I tell you that I am so choked up and so emotional? Now, none of this is true, none of it, but you're delivering it so well, like you do your telecast every night, that I'm buying into it, and it's very, very sweet. So I'll see you tonight.
I'm staring down on Broadway, so I'm excited. I did want to come up here for this, so I look forward to it, and it's always great to see folks. In all honesty, like I love seeing folks that you have either a relationship by phone because you talk to them for the radio,
right,
or that they're guests on the show.
Sure.
And so it is good to see people in person. And half the time it's everyone measuring each other up. Most of the time people are going, you're a lot shorter than I thought.
Right.
I'm thinking something like you're a lot taller than I thought.
Well, when you see me, you're going to go, oh, my God, you're much more handsome than you sound on radio. I swear I get that all the time. But you've been on this show many times with me and Bernie. Bernie and I have always been, you're one of our favorites. And even, like, again, when you wrote the book, you went Dancing with the Stars, and you do speak our language. We agree with you on just about 100% of what you and Lindsay talk about every night. And it was great seeing President Trump on your show two nights ago. I played a bunch of the audio today leading up to the big Putin-Biden conversation yesterday. Two things which struck me, which I thought were great from the former president, was A, listen, I like Putin. I get along with Putin, but I was tough on him. I know that about the relationship. And the second thing was, this is hilarious, I played it 10 times already, Biden versus Putin is like the New England Patriots taking on your local high school football team. That was a great interview two nights ago.
Well, thank you. First of all, I think you heard in the interview, I'm a lifelong Pats fan, so that was good.
Right.
But and especially coming on the heels of that win, sorry for the Bills fans, I think we're probably a little stout.
Hey, let me tell you something, not to divert the attention away from Trump, Biden, and Putin, but the way this kid, I know he only threw the ball three times on Monday night because of the win, but the way Mac Jones is playing in that defense, this is very reminiscent of a young Tom Brady under Bill Belichick, right?
Yes, and the thing that's interesting to me is when Brady left, you know, there was some question about whether Belichick, who was the big master, who was the real GOAT.
Yep.
And I've always thought Belichick, you look at the kickers, I mean, he really does know how to pick players. And it's amazing what a coach he is. But getting back to the interview, I thought was interesting. Trump's been on the show, I think, four times. I work with him a lot. I've watched a ton of his interviews. I'm normally prepared for three or four questions because he goes on, he kind of takes some issue and then moves on. We went through so much territory. We talked about, to your point, we talked about Trump and Putin and Biden and Putin. We talked about China and this diplomatic ban. We talked about politics and whether he's going to get involved. We talked about his book, basically. The thing that's interesting, what he broke on the show was this picture book that he sold over 100,000 copies is only the first thing. He's going to have a memoir, which is coming out as well, which he hadn't previously talked about, which I think is in itself fascinating. And then he talked about the comments that he had made about Mike Pence. I mean, it was we covered a ton of ground in that whole segment that we had with him. And, you know, the thing that I actually loved about it is right afterwards, we had a woman named Shayla Craighead, who was the chief photographer for Trump for 4 years, all 4 years. And I had her on right afterwards exclusively. And I it was just interesting because I was like, okay, he went from 5 million to 5,000 photos down to 320. And I was like, Shayla, how many photos did you shoot every day? What was it like? I mean, this is a guy who cares about his image.
Wow.
And it's just so fascinating to me. I love that part of the show where I can find a guest and say, okay, that's we see the finished product. Now tell me how the sausage got made. Because for a lot of people, you pick up a book, there's 320 pictures, there's a bunch of captions, you go, oh, this is great, it's awesome, it's insightful. I love to basically say, okay, let's peel back that onion and tell me something that, tell the viewer something that they're not going to see anywhere else. And I that show, to me, how we did that, was one of my favorites because it wasn't just the one interview, it was sort of how do you take that next interview and the strategy in thinking out the show, I always felt like it was sort of the campaign strategist to me coming out because I'm like, okay, right when you're done with Trump, who do you want to hear from? And then, okay, when you're done with that, who do you want to hear from? So we had a couple of members of Congress on afterwards. So we could kind of keep sort of the discussion going as we try every night to do.
Yeah, no, it was great. It really was. You described it perfectly. It was that good, and you did peel back the onion. And just to make everything about myself, which I tend to do, Sean, I'm writing my second book now. It's due for a Father's Day release. And yesterday I finished my chapter, Citizens United, with Johnny Russo on Donald Trump. And talked about the things that he did well and the things this administration is bungling every single day. And the very last question Johnny asked me was, do you think Donald Trump will run again in 2024? You just talked about your interview. That came up. My answer is yes, I do think he will run. For folks who did not see your conversation with Trump, does Sean Spicer think Trump will run in 2024?
Yes, I agree with you. But here's why, and you tell me if you have the same view. I think that Donald Trump is the kind of individual, two things. One, who saw what he did and now what's happening and says, I can't let that stand, number one. Number two is he is not a kind of guy that can, you know, a lot of people talk about him being a kingmaker. He's either in the spotlight or he's not.
Right.
And I just don't see him saying, I'm going to let somebody else run that response to Biden, right? He can't, if he had served 8 years, if there was another Democratic, I mean, I think there's something about him saying, I don't want this, I want to bookend what happened. I want to show you how it started. I want to show you what Biden did to it. And then I'm going to bookend the other 4 years and show you what I can do.
I agree. I agree with both of those premises. And I would add a third in that he really does truly believe, we could fight all day about this, he really does truly believe that that election was stolen from him and he wants another chance.
He does. Yes, he does. But it's also why. I think that, you know, he does believe that. I think there's things that happened in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and Wisconsin that were unbelievable. I'll throw it out there. I have a brand new book called Radical Nation that just came out that talks about what's going on under the Biden-Harris administration. Makes a great Christmas gift, by the way.
I'm going to get it.
Good. And I think that one of the things that, you know, I make the case about what these states did to change. And I think as people go to gather as families again or Christmas parties, and you know you're going to get approached by the liberal, you know, colleague or cousin or uncle that's going to come up to you, understanding and being able to deconstruct their argument, I think, is crucial. And what I did in Radical Nation is take all their arguments and say, okay, here's logically why they don't make sense. And I think that's the key because I think liberals – love to argue on emotion, and they'll say, Donald Trump's tweets this. And I'll go, right. So what I try to do, I go, fine, great, tweet, give it to you. Yep, they're horrible. You're absolutely right. Now let's get to the fact. Did the economy go down? Did he do this? Did he do this?
Right.
They don't want to argue the substance of what he accomplished.
Well, they can't.
They want to argue.
They can't.
But it's the same thing with Biden, though.
Yep.
And they say stuff like voting rights. And I make the case in Radical Nation, I use D.C., the District of Columbia, as an example and say, okay, D.C. was created in 1790 by taking parts of Virginia and Maryland. In 1835, we gave back the part of Virginia, which is where Reagan National Airport is, which is where I actually live, because we weren't using it. And so my point to liberals is if you believe in voting rights for D.C., then give back the part of Maryland, which was taken from Maryland. It's an existing state. Hmm. They actually would love it because they get more federal funding, and then create a federal district from the White House to the Capitol. problem solved.
Interesting.
You have a federal district. The framers are happy. And, oh, by the way, now all of the people there vote and they're in a state. But why don't liberals want to do that? Because if you create D.C. as a state, it's a state that would vote 95-5 Democrat, guaranteeing them two additional U.S. senators from the Democratic side. So it's all about politics. But if you can go into an argument and deconstruct it logically and say, if we really agree with voting rights, then let's do the easy, simple, logical thing, i.e. give back the area and the votes and to what was taken from Maryland.
That's genius.
This isn't a new,
That is genius.
Well, but the point is, so many of these arguments are bumper stickers. And you go, build back better. And you go, I'd love to build back better, except I'm not looking to pay off trial lawyers and the media and all of these things that are in it. And people don't. And so you get stuck on the bumper sticker because that's what the media feeds you. But if you can deconstruct an argument and have someone on the left look at you and go, you know, I agree with you, then we win. They don't want to have that argument because they know it. So the whole point of Radical Nation is to take and deconstruct their arguments in a very logical, simplistic way that we can fight and win on.
I love it. Radical Nation by Sean Spicer. 60 seconds to go, Sean, before we break bread at tonight's Newsmax Christmas party. The Putin-Biden conversation yesterday, CNN trying to sell all morning, only because it's not in my studios. It was a tense conversation. I don't buy that. I'm pretty sure that Putin told him, don't expand NATO, shut up. And if I want to invade Ukraine, I'm going to do it, whether you'll get mad or not. That's the way I think it really went. But what about you? How do you think that conversation really went yesterday?
I think it went a very close version of what you're describing, that Biden said, don't go into Ukraine. And he said, well, you said that in 2014 and we took Crimea and it hasn't been too bad of a deal. And oh, by the way, I had a conversation with President Xi the other day, Mr. Biden. He's not that concerned. I mean, I think it was just a system of Putin basically saying, you really think that I'm worried about you? What are you going to do to me? China's on my side. You didn't do anything last time. You haven't. You just botched you with Afghanistan withdrawal. I just don't see them being very concerned about what we have to say, to be honest with you. And that worries me because I think that China is watching Russia now and saying, well, if they take Ukraine, why don't we take Taiwan?
That's right. 100%. Iran is going, why don't we take Israel? And the whole world is saying, let's just take whatever we can because Biden's not going to stop us. It's a very scary situation. Go by Radical Nation. Watch Sean and Lindsay every night. I do. 6 p.m. on Newsmax. And I can't wait to see you later. This was a great conversation, Sean. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing you in person tonight.
Me too. There he is, folks. Sean Spicer, 6 p.m. every weeknight on Newsmax, again, alongside Lindsay Keith. He's great. He's great. And go buy his book, Radical Nation. Still more to do on this show. Lydia Report's coming up next with Lydia Serrani, then making his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. And it will get a bit contentious. I'm not going to kill him. I'll bring him back. Then Bernie can kill him. Right? Max Rose is going to stop by, only because I met him at Teddy Atlas's dinner, and he was very nice. So let's give him a shot. He knows I endorse Nicole Malliotakis. He knows I'm going to vote for Nicole. He knows that. But as I talked about with Peter King, real radio guys don't bring on folks they like and exclude the folks that they may not or they don't agree with. That's what the high school kids do.
That's bullying.
Right. It's stupid. And I don't do that. So, yes, if you've noticed that when Bernie is out, Anthony Scaramucci comes on or Michael Rappaport comes on and today Max Rose comes on, that's not an accident. And I would hope that most of you out there are adult enough to appreciate that and want to hear the other side, even if you think it's ridiculous. Most of you are, but some of you are just jerk-offs with a capital J. But not you.
Not me?
Not most mornings.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
We'll be right back. So yesterday I wished my wife's partner at the Hamra Law Group, Abraham Hamra, Abie, a happy birthday. And then I came to find out last night that his birthday is actually today. So he's lucky in the respect that he gets two consecutive shout-outs on consecutive days, I should say, from me. So with that said, he's a super guy. His wife Rachel's a lovely lady.
who runs a great firm out there in Great Neck. He's been very good to my family. Happy birthday to Abraham Hamra. I know in Deal right now, Deal, New Jersey, there's a rousing round of applause. They love him there. Happy birthday, Abraham Hamra. Must be fun turning 35. With that said, Lydia reports.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Sid, the world is so angry. I don't know what is going on with everybody.
I'm not.
I know. You're not. I'm happy. I'm happier than I've ever been. I love my job, right? How lucky are we that we get to like sit behind a microphone and speak to the world, right?
You know, you know what's funny about that is the difference between you and I is that I feel like they're lucky to have me. No, of course. Yeah, first of all, I've been in this business for over 20 years. I've worked at the biggest and baddest radio stations in the history of the business, and I've never met anybody like John and Margot Katzenmatidis. And I'm not saying that to blow smoke. It doesn't matter at this point. I'm signed. I'm not going anywhere. They're just the best people ever. So I like you. I'm very, very happy, thrilled to be here, and would love to spend the rest of my career right here.
Absolutely. This is it for me. I don't know how much better it can get. To be on, knock on wood. Let me knock on wood. Okay. So you heard about what happened at the Fox News Christmas tree?
I had Janice Dean on. I had Janice Dean on this morning. I actually brought her on to talk about Chris Cuomo because, you know, she's the face of the Andrew Cuomo resistance. Both of her in-laws died because of Andrew's murderous nursing home policies. Right. And she talked about how she got to work and the damn thing was burned to the ground. They're redoing it today.
You should see the video and okay, that's okay. We know it was set on fire. What's funny? We don't know the motive yet. According to the NYPD chief, Dermot Shea, he doesn't know what the motive is yet, but they have a man in custody. He climbed the tree to set it on fire.
Yeah.
My question to you is
now that they got the man and he's in handcuffs, who's going to fill in for Don Lemon later on tonight? See what I did there?
What's interesting is how the New York Times is covering it. This is their headline on the story. Fox News Christmas tree catches fire in Manhattan. It just caught fire like the burning bush, like Moses and the Ten Commandments.
Kind of
like a burning bush because...
Like what they said last week
about... Because they never want to acknowledge...
That somebody lit it on fire.
They never want to acknowledge that libs, that radicals, whoever these people are that are just, you know, the people I highlighted in the TikTok that hate Republicans, that they are violent. We know that. They never want to say, oh, it's a riot. Oh, they were, like AOC said, when people looted the stores, it's because they're hungry. They need bread and milk. No, they're violent criminals. They want to steal. These are maniacs, and they should be locked up.
Well, it's very similar.
And now the New York Times is saying it.
Well, when they ran the story last week, one of the papers, or CNN, on the lowlife that ran his car through those Christmas folks in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha.
And the story was a car ran through the crowd as if the car was driving by itself and there was no driver. So it's very similar in that fashion, Lydia.
Yeah, they never want to acknowledge it. And then I saw some new statistics from the NYPD. We have 503 reported hate crimes. And you're like, okay, that doesn't sound that, I guess, that bad for the past year. You know, compared to this time last year, but anti-Asian hate crime is up 361%, anti-gay almost 200%, anti-Semitic 51%. I mean, people are just so fed up. They're so angry. They're sick of the lockdowns. They're sick of the divisiveness. You remember President Biden? What did he say when he came into office? His first speech, I am going to be the president for everybody, not just for the people who voted for me. And everybody thought once he came into office, everything would be so great, so happy. And yes, the country will be whole again. And it is quite the opposite, if you couldn't tell by all the crime, the drugs. By the way, that was the other story. There's so much going on. There's been 17 overdoses at those drug injection clinics. 17 of them. 17. And could you imagine? So I have a daughter. You have a daughter and a son.
Right.
Could you imagine if your child, God forbid, knock on wood, they became a drug addict? They go into these injection centers. They don't even need the drugs, right? They could get it from another druggie, right? Or something like that. And then you have the facility using your taxpayer dollars, giving them the needle, and then they overdose. I would sue the S out of the city. I mean, this is so crazy. Am I crazy?
Well, no, you are crazy. I mean, in fact, I'm not even sure if you should be allowed to leave your house every day. But in this case, you happen to be right that they're making drug life easy. And I'm a recovering addict, and I did a lot of drugs in my day, a lot. Went to rehab twice. But, heck, don't make it easy on these folks. You know, they're not heroes. Look, I understand you want to, at some point, try to deter some of these people. If they're in public, people can get sick. Bad things can happen. But it's almost like they're rewarding people for being druggies. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I have no idea. And the other story before I have to go, because you're the only one I could probably talk to about this. Did you see what Tristan Thompson, is that his, you know, Khloe's baby daddy?
That
you know,
is Khloe Kardashian, Tristan Thompson. I think he's still in the Cleveland Cavaliers, Thompson. NBA player. But yes, that's him.
Okay. He, you know, impregnated another woman, or allegedly, and she gave birth to a baby boy. Well, she's now spilling the tea on Instagram, and she's saying that Kylie slept with Drake. You know how Kylie Kardashian goes out with Travis Scott? So his mistress that he admitted to Khloe he cheated on her with, we don't know if the baby's actually his.
Right.
So Kylie allegedly slept with Drake, who is the biggest music star currently in the world, and she's pregnant. This is interesting. This is hot. This is piping tea.
This is big stuff. In fact, I'm doing my podcast, my Citizens United podcast.
That's why I have to talk about it with you.
Yeah, you should come on the podcast and talk about it with me. It's funny because I started today's show by talking about how last night, you know, while people in this business are watching Newsmax or Fox News, I was caught up on Vanderpump Rules, 2 hours on the Bravo channel, and I want to see if Lala ends up with James. So what you just mentioned is right up my alley. Anyway, as always, great job. Love having you on. All the love. Talk to you tomorrow.
I can't even watch Vanderpump Rules anymore, and James and Raquel broke up. I'm so disappointed. We need to bring back Stassi and Jax.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Even the one I couldn't stand, Kristen. I agree with you. It's a terrible show.
Yes.
Who's on the big show quickly before you go at 5 o'clock today?
Today is Wednesday. You know, we're going to have a tri-cast. Kevin McCullough comes in. I never know who's going to be honest with you. Because, like I said, we have the biggest names, the dignitaries from around the world. But I can promise you one thing. If you watch, because you can't, well, eventually you will be able to watch it. But if you listen to it from 5 to 6, everything you need to know that's going on in the world, the entire truth, the whole truth, you will hear it at Cats at Night, on Cats at Night.
Thank you, Lydia. At Lydia News 1 on Instagram, at Lydia News on Twitter. I keep saying I want sports updates on this station all day long, and I'm about to go up and talk to John and Chad about it. I do it on our show in the morning, and people love it. And I think guys like Luke on our show and Mike Dodino would be great doing it. And here's another example why. I just said Tristan Thompson, Cleveland Cavaliers, and Mike Dodino texted me to say he's actually on the Sacramento Kings. So thank you, Mike. And Mike works with Greg Kelly, right? Okay, there you have it. Boom, 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 boom. Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Now, what version is this? I like Madonna's version of this song.
This is Eartha Kitt.
Oh, Eartha Kitt. She was Batman. On Batman, she played the Catwoman.
Hot, no?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. She was hot, you know, like 100 years ago when, you know, she was alive, I guess.
Right, it tends to happen that way, huh?
She was probably hotter then than,
than she is now.
Well, I think she's dead, Justin.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so there's not much, unless you're,
I don't know.
Do they call that necrophilia?
Is that dead people or sleeping people? Dead people, right?
I think it's dead people.
Yeah. I don't know, they're all sick.
Gross!
Yeah, listen, I'm a pretty liberal guy, and I'm all for a lot of crazy stuff, but I'm going to draw the line at dead people.
That's where you're going to draw the line. Not before dead people, you're going to draw the line.
Well, there's other stuff, too, that I think is pretty sick. But I'm not going to get into that right now. I don't have time.
That's true, you don't.
We've had a great run here today. Janice Dean, Fox Sports. Well, they burned down the damn Christmas tree. Like, let's revisit that conversation. That was at 6:20 this morning. She really called to talk about that scumbag Chris Cuomo. But we ended up talking about the Christmas tree. Then we'll get to Max Rose. And here's how that conversation went. Did they set the Christmas tree that's outside your building on fire last night? Is that right?
I thought you were going to open with that. That is correct. Our beautiful all-American Christmas tree, which we just lit the other night, you know, fantastic place for people to take their pictures here in Fox Square. It was set on fire last night. The guy who did it has been arrested. But what a sad day, Sid, when I came in and saw pretty much the whole Christmas tree burnt to a crisp.
Wow. I mean, it was that bad? The damage burnt to a crisp?
Pretty much all the half of it was completely burnt. So they're going to take it down. We're going to rebuild.
Oh, my God.
But how sad. It says so much that somebody would, light fire to a Christmas tree last night.
Mm.
I'm getting upset just thinking about it. I'm so grateful to the police and our security here and, of course, the FDNY who put the fire out. But it's just, that's just a tale of what's happening here in New York right now.
Well, I'm glad they arrested Don Lemon. He won't be on the air tonight, but we got him. That's good news. I was kidding there, obviously. Don Lemon did not do it. Let me make that very, very clear. That was a joke, although Don Lemon is deserving of a lot worse than that. Anyway, I went to this Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner a couple of weeks ago. I go every year. Teddy is a dear, 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 dear friend. And it's a wonderful event before Thanksgiving. And he raises a lot of money for sick children. And at my table that night was Max Rose. Now, I'm going to be very honest with Max. You know, obviously, we endorsed Nicole Matiotakis on this show, me and Bernard. She's a very good friend of both of ours. And didn't know Max. But I liked the guy that I met at that dinner that night. And I want to give him the opportunity to speak on some of the things that he's been vilified for in this town by folks like me and Bernie and other conservatives for his run along the way. And with that said, here he is making his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning show, Max Rose. Max, it was very nice meeting you that night. You were very nice to me and my wife, and I'm glad you're coming on this morning. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, my friend? It was great finally meeting you in person, and it was fantastic seeing you shut down that crowd when they were being way too loud
right
during all those speeches. I've never seen anything like that in my life, man. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I actually did get up on stage in time to shut the F up. I've been to that event before, and I've seen Nicole there. So to be fully transparent, I know that when me and Bernie say stuff in this town, you're in the political game, it's got to get back to you at some point, sometime, somewhere. So you know we've endorsed Nicole in the past, and she's a friend of ours. And we took issue with some of the things that you've stood for along the way. So just to start off in full transparency, you know that, obviously, right?
Yeah, no, I do. It's one of the reasons why, my wife, some days, is such a big fan of you guys.
Is that true? Yeah. No, she's mad at us. She hates us, I know.
No. Look, let me be really clear here and honest. One of the biggest problems in this country right now is that we're not talking to each other. We're vilifying each other. We're tearing each other apart when the truth of the matter is we have real enemies overseas. Our real enemy were people like who I encountered in Afghanistan who tried to kill me, tried to kill people I love. That's the enemy. You guys are not my enemy. If I have any real regret from my first 2 years in office, it was not going on this show. It was not more of these conversations.
Thanks.
And that's on me. And I've grown from that. But hey, man, you could also say I was really busy during my time.
Well, you were busy.
Now
right,
I've got
right,
much
right.
more free time.
Of course. And now you have some free time.
Maybe even thanks to you guys. So
that's funny.
I'm just really honored to be here.
Well, thank you. And I believe you're sincere about that. And I apologize to your wife. And again, thank you for your service, because that's important. That we do say that. Me and Bernie love servicemen, Bernie and I. So thank you for that. There are a couple of things I want to get out right away. And I need you to confirm and or deny. And if they're true, you got to tell me why. First of all, stop with January 6th. I'm here to tell you, Max, and I know you know this, there was on any given random night in 2019, any given random night in Seattle, in Portland, in Chicago, in Atlanta, right here in New York City, more people were killed, more stores were burnt down, more people were violated, cops were beaten up. Any given night, one person died on January 6th. It was Ashley Babbitt. She was murdered for no reason. The cop died of natural causes. He wasn't murdered. The amount of time we're spending on that day is ridiculous, including you in your commercial. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. It's enough. It was one bad day. It shouldn't have happened, but it's not nearly as bad as the media is portraying it. We're still talking about that day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this is kind of going back to that point of having sensible conversations and maybe even where we disagree. Let me first start off with the riots that were happening in 2020. They were violent. They were wrong. And there was not enough people, and particularly even in the Democratic Party, often standing up and saying, let me be very clear and simple, violence is wrong. And those who commit acts of violence, those who commit acts of rioting, should be criminally punished for that. Now, with that being said, though, I don't believe that January 6th can be understated like that. That was a shock to our system, a shock to our Constitution. And that's coming from someone who has on multiple occasions sworn an oath to protect and defend the Constitution and would die for this country. That on that day, and I've got dear friends who ran for their life on that day. Now,
why?
That was also the day. Well, you listen. I was not there specifically,
right,
but I
right.
think the
answer. I mean, listen. I think if you're going to be honest about that day, if I said to you, Max Rose, that all the things that happened on that day, okay, if Donald Trump wasn't the president. And listen, I criticized Donald Trump because I thought he reacted poorly. He went there, his speech, he even said during his speech, go in peace. He did say that, which the media never brings up. I was critical because he reacted slowly. But if Donald Trump wasn't there that morning, they would have treated this night like any other night in Atlanta or Portland, and you know that's the case.
No, I really don't believe that that's true. But I do think that we have a problem in our politics of believing one thing when your party is in power, and then believe in something completely different when your party's not in power. Wanting one thing for the country when your party's in power, and then actively wanting the country not to be successful when your party's not in power. I got, for as much as maybe we had an antagonistic relationship when I was in Congress, I got hit a lot for supporting things in the good of the country, even though at times people were like, well, we don't want this president to get a win, or this or that. So I reject that entire form of politics. I think it's absolutely wrong. I think it's immoral. I don't think it's good for the future of this country at all.
We agree.
For my son.
Yep.
Now, on January 6th, look, this may end up with us agreeing to disagree. That was the day that our elections were being certified. The Capitol was not stormed even during the height of the Civil War. And we cannot understate the severity and significance and also the potential that there were, I think the likely potential, and this is being confirmed by the prosecutions going on right now, that there were organized groups there like the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, so on and so forth. I've seen violence. I'm not trying to, you know, get into some melodramatic situation with you. That, in my mind, on January 6th, was a horrific
okay.
day.
We agree to disagree.
It put our country really right. on the brink of something that I think is a crisis. But we got to stop with this or that, either or false equivalency. You go down the street these days, and it's like we're at a civil war as a country, ripping each other apart.
Well, Max, we are, and the reason for that is some of the outlets that you were just on, to be quite frank. MSNBC, CNN, they don't ever tell the truth. I mean, ever. I mean, look, Max, you're a very smart guy and likable, by the way. You're not going to be able to sit here and tell me that Joe Biden has done a good job. In fact, I'm going to tell you, and not at the risk of fighting or being nasty, he's the worst president in the history of this country 14 months in. Inflation, problems at the border, 13 dead in Afghanistan. China thinks he's a joke. Russia thinks he's a joke. Heck, the Iranians think he's a joke. This is the worst president we've ever had. And somebody once said a couple of days ago, if you like what Biden is doing, vote for Max Rose. I mean, you can't tell me this guy's doing a good job, can you?
Well, you know, I think that I would push back on a few things as you look over the past year, right? The passing of the American Rescue Plan is a substantive, bold bill to rescue our economy. I think we'd be in a much worse position otherwise. Doing a very expansive distribution of vaccines, something that I was proud to take a part of as to play a small part in as a senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense. The infrastructure bill now being on the brink of doing something with Build Back Better that I think is going to be the singular effort to put more money in people.
Okay, so just so if you were you would vote yes on that bill, Max.
Yes. And one of the problems in our politics today is people don't give clear answers. So yes, next question. Now, the problem right now in my mind with how Democrats are messaging, how they're acting, is that there's this elitist disdain often for pain, trying to explain away pain. We have to instead accept what people are going through, not try to tell them that it's not real, but also do something about it and talk about the things that we've already done that are going to be, I think, highly effective in that regard. So we could talk about inflation. I think that the principal source of our inflation crisis right now is associated with the pandemic and the supply chain. But let's also unite around the country and talk about even further solutions. I think that we should really be exploring deploying the National Guard to our ports to help get as much off of these ships as possible previous to Christmas. And yes, I can say Christmas. So it's that things like that, I think, are really, really important, not just sitting back. And here's where I'm going to push back on you.
Okay.
Do you honestly think there are not Republican members of Congress who are not behind closed doors happy about inflation because they're getting a political win?
Oh.
Behind closed doors don't want inflation to continue because it makes the president look bad?
This
is the state of our politics today.
I think you're right. I think certainly Donald Trump's not upset about it, no matter what he says, because his path back to Pennsylvania Avenue gets easier every day. So I think you're right, and I do think it's a problem. And that's why, Max Rose, you're on my show. That's why Anthony Scaramucci comes on the show, because the other side does have something to say, and I want to give you guys the opportunity to say it now. Getting back to you, though.
Let me give you one more. Yeah. Let me give you one more example of that, though. There was a COVID bill right at the end of Donald Trump's presidency that where there was a bipartisan consensus. I was a part of a group that was executing a bipartisan consensus. The Secretary of the Treasury was on. The president had intimated that he was on board. And it was in and around $1 trillion. About 3 weeks prior to the election. And I thought this was exactly what the country needed. We couldn't kick the can down the road for 4 more months. It was going to put people, money in people's pockets, money in small businesses. And then the Speaker of the House at the time put the present Speaker of the House as well, put a bill on the floor that was double that. Now, don't get me wrong. If I thought double that could pass, I would have voted for it, but I knew that it was just political gamesmanship, and I voted against it.
Okay.
That's what we can't have. That's what pisses people off about our politics right now, is you believe one thing one day, you're pro-vaccine a year ago, and then and then presently you're against the vaccine.
No, listen, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Now, we've got about 3 minutes to go. I got to hit two things specifically with you. Max Rose joining us for the first time and doing a fine job. Listen, don't give me the old BLM. Of course black people matter. And I think the majority, overwhelming majority of Americans know that and care, okay? So people preface it with, well, you know, the idea is good. This is a Marxist terrorist group. Hawk Newsom, quite frankly, is one of the worst Americans in the history of this country. You got their leaders buying homes in Beverly Hills. They promote violence. It's not just black people, by the way. It's a lot of fat white girls from Columbia doing the same damage on a weekly night in New York City throughout that whole summer. So you could care about black people. I do. You could understand there are some issues. I do. But how, Max Rose, can you ever walk in a parade or a march with these people? But at the end of the day, they are a violent terrorist Marxist group. That's a fact.
Yeah, so first of all, let me just say that, you know, I appreciate you saying that Black Lives Matter. And I think it's a sign of our progress that we agree that saying that is important. And the guy that I met at the Teddy Avis Foundation, along with your wife, I know that you're raising your children to believe the same, that we
True.
Need justice for
By
all.
By the way, and to prove your point, my wife is biracial, so that's you have that right there. So, yes.
Look, we have too much kind of moral insults going on in this world today. But look at what actually occurred and then look at the politics that centered around it. There were young people of color on Staten Island who organized in coordination with the police a peaceful march. They set out to do everything the right way. Staten Island was the only borough that did not have any violence at their marches, any violence whatsoever. They set out to try to build trust. They set out to communicate, and they set out to let their voices and their pain be heard and in a peaceful manner. And you're damn right, as a leader, I thought that it was my responsibility to be there and support the peaceful expression that is the very fabric and foundation of our Constitution. But what happens, though? politics sets in after. These young people are vilified as thugs. They're vilified as rioters. They're vilified as the folks who are trying to set out and kill cops when they did everything right, all just to achieve a political gain. Now, my opponent at the time, she attends a march in South Brooklyn where it descends into people being both violent and saying that black lives are a piece of crap. Now, there were people at that march who certainly were not out there to say things like that, but you didn't see folks come out and try to define that whole thing and define her in that manner. So I thought that what went down, look, I stepped into the arena, all right? Politics is politics, whatever. It happened to me. But the fact that that happened to that, you know, to those young people on Staten Island who did everything correct, I think that's the height of evil, and that's exactly the type of politics that I want to wage war against.
Okay, fair enough. Now, 60 seconds to go, Max. Are you for defunding the police or not?
100% not.
Not.
And, you know, don't even have to listen to my record. Listen to my words. Look at my record. Every single opportunity I got to support the police with additional funding, I certainly set out to do it. Now, do I believe that the police, like every other institution, can be improved, that there can be enhanced accountability, that we can look at 21st century technologies and try to make things better? Of course I do. That's the story of this country. But of course, 100% against it. But they're going to throw these lies at me over and over and over again because that's what they think politics.
Yeah, but now you're on tape on this show.
I think this country is better than that. But I also do believe that we can have justice for all. You know, when I was in Afghanistan, I remember the feeling that, this is my ninth month here, my eighth month here. I got guys here who are exhausted. And if we make a mistake, there's going to be echelons above us. They're going to swoop down. They're going to snipe us. They're going to chuck us under the bus. I understand those pressures. I get it. And I admire our police and the incredible feats of bravery and courage that they do each and every day that never, ever make the news. And we have to stop using our police and stop using the pursuit of justice for all that I know you want, you know I want, as some political cudgel just to win an election. Elections are not that important. What matters is this country.
Max, that's a heck of a job. I'm glad I brought you on. I thought you did very, very well. Look, the people are going to like you. They're going to hate you. They're going to think you're okay. It doesn't matter. But you answered every question. I thought you did it in a very respectful and detailed manner. I'm glad we met. I'm glad you came on the show. Let's keep talking, pal, okay? And good luck.
Appreciate that. Absolutely. I hope you all can have me on again. I hope we can continue the conversation. And what you're always going to hear from me is, look, I'm going to run this race with honesty. I'm going to run this race about this country. Worst thing that can happen is I lose. All right? Listen, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's not the end of the world. We got something much bigger to fight for than just an election here.
All right. Wish your wife a happy holiday. We'll get you in studio next time. How does that sound?
Same to you and your family. That sounds great.
All right, Max. There he is. Max Rose running again against Nicole Malliotakis coming up in 2022. And I thought he was good. I don't care if you may hate everything he said. I didn't agree with a lot of the stuff he just said. A lot of it. But that's the beauty of radio, folks, and that's what we do, and that's what, quite frankly, everybody. So if you're on hold right now and you want to yell and scream, how could you have this guy on? How could you bring this guy on? You're an idiot. I'm not going to pick up your phone call. We had him on so you can hear what he had to say. He does not want to defund the police, and the report said that he did. He said some other things I don't agree with. January 6th, obviously. I put his feet to the fire there, Justin. I did.
No, listen, I told you halfway through, you're doing a great job.
I didn't yell at him. I didn't, demean him.
We had a conversation. Exactly.
Right. And if you think that's bad, then you're the type of listener, quite frankly, I don't want.
Silent night. Holy night.
Come on, baby.
It's calm.
Hey, now.
Is bright, brown yonder jam, mother and child.
This is worthy of a replay. Leslie Slender picked this one out. Margot Ray, who made Silent Night sexy? She did. Oh, what a show! Put on for you today. Bernie's been out. Had some tests on today on bone and pelvic stuff. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll be out next Tuesday for the biopsy. But I don't care if you like Max Rose or not. You heard his point of view, and now it's up to you to make your decision. But between Janice Dean, Fox News, and the early 6 o'clock hour, talking about Chris Cuomo and some animal out there burning down the Fox News Christmas tree, and then, of course, the trifecta, along with Lydia, of Peter King, Sean Spicer, Newsmax, their Christmas party tonight, and, of course, Max Rose, I think we gave you a damn good show today. The big story from yesterday, of course, was Russia, Russia, Russia. Like Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Russia, Russia, Russia. No hoax. Not yesterday. This was real. The imbecile in charge, as Bernie calls him. The president, Joe Biden, had his conversation with Vladimir Putin. And, well, you know, he'll try to make you believe, his people on CNN, that it was a tense conversation, and Biden put it on the table and told Putin, you better comply and not invade Ukraine or we'll have sanctions against you. And you know it didn't go that way. You know that it didn't go that way. Biden is so compromised that, you know, all the money his kid made, Hunter, with the Moscow mayor, the wife, if I came out and said that, and he's such a feckless leader. He worked for Barack Obama. Barack, while elegant and a wonderful speaker, may have been the most feckless leader when it came to foreign policy ever. I mean, I remember we began time and time again these terrorist attacks. That one day in France where they attacked people outside the soccer stadium, they killed people inside the theater, murdered people having lunch at the restaurants, and all he was worried about was how we treat Muslims in this country. They never got mad at the terrorists, never, never. It was always apologetic. I couldn't stand to watch Barack Obama after an attack. And Biden is kind of the same way. He is the same way. And that's why countries like China and Russia and Iran, they're licking their chops right now. They'll do whatever they want. China will invade Taiwan. Russia will invade the Ukraine. Iran will try to blow up Israel. They don't care. Joe Biden doesn't pose a threat to them. They look at him as a joke. So, like, for example, here's NSA guy Jake Sullivan yesterday trying to convince all of us that Biden had a good conversation with Vladimir Putin.
President Biden was direct and straightforward with President Putin, as he always is. He reiterated America's support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. He told President Putin directly that if Russia further invades Ukraine, the United States and our European allies would respond with strong economic measures. We would provide additional defensive materiel to the Ukrainians above and beyond that which we are already providing. And we would fortify our NATO allies on the eastern flank with additional capabilities in response to such an escalation.
Then they asked NSA Director Jake Sullivan if he thought, as Russia continues to amass troops, now up to 175,000, on the Ukraine border, if in fact he thought Russia would invade the Ukraine. Here was Sullivan's answer.
We still do not believe that President Putin has made a decision. What President Biden did today was lay out very clearly the consequences if he chooses to move.
Sure.
He also laid out an alternative path, an alternative path that is fundamentally in keeping with the basic principles and propositions that have guided America in the Euro-Atlantic area for the past 70 years. And ultimately, we will see in the days ahead through actions, not through words, what course of action Russia chooses to take.
Sure, Jake. You wonder how that call really went yesterday? I think Ted Cruz probably nailed it right here.
Joe Biden surrendered to Putin, waived the sanctions that had worked, and that is why we're facing the prospect of a Russian invasion on Ukraine. It is because of Biden's weakness.
Not when, if. Excuse me, I stand corrected. Not if, when. Thank you, Ted Cruz. But you would have known all this just two nights ago if you watched Sean Spicer, who again was great on this show, 8 o'clock this morning. He'll be at the Newsmax Christmas party tonight. He had President Donald Trump on his Newsmax show, him and Lindsey Keith, two nights ago. And this one made me laugh because Trump used an NFL analogy to describe the Putin-Biden phone call. This is the night before the call took place, but I think Donald Trump nailed it right here.
Now I see that Biden is going to be talking to Putin, and that's not a fair match. That wouldn't have been a fair match in prime time. This is not a fair match for our country. And the election was rigged, and it was stolen, and this is what we got. This is not a match that should even be allowed. This is, take the New England Patriots playing your high school football team. That's what you have right now.
I love that. The Pats, first place atop the AFC East at 8-4, taking on your high school football team. And that, of course, leave it up to Donald Trump to pat himself on the back.
We never had any problem. Nobody was tougher on Russia than I was, and I liked Putin. Got along with him very well, but I was the one that stopped the pipeline. There can be no bigger thing than that. I sanctioned them, and I stopped the pipeline going all over Europe. And nobody could do bigger than that. Outside of the horror show of war itself, nobody could do bigger than that. And then I hear how nice I was to Russia. I got along great with Putin, but I was tough with Putin. Tougher than anybody ever. Tougher than anybody on China. Tougher than anybody ever.
Happens to be true. Bottom line, this stuff wouldn't be going on. Trust me, China wouldn't even be flirting with invading Taiwan and Russia with Ukraine. And we know that 13 people wouldn't have died in Afghanistan because if you remember, when Donald Trump reached out to them last year, he said, and I pretty much quote, it's close, to the leaders there, the head of the Taliban, I know where you live, I know where your wives are, I know where your kids are, and I'm coming for you. That's a leader. It sounds brutal. I get it. I get it. It sounds brutal. But let me tell you, nothing happens. When you say, well, we'll talk about it, we'll figure it out, you know, they're not going to kill you. They're going to kill you. And we saw that 13 times with Biden. Trump goes, I know where your wife is. I know where your kids are. Very Don Corleone. Last I checked, that works. So that was the phone call yesterday, Biden and Putin. And as Michael Goodwin wrote in today's New York Post, did a very good job. If you're any one of these countries who has designs on expanding and or messing with the United States, nothing that happened yesterday will deter you from doing that moving forward. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. So we had four great guests and Lydia. Talked a lot about politics, a lot about personal stuff too, but I'd like to spend the last 46 plus minutes on the phones talking about any one of the interviews we did today, including Max Rose. If you could be adult about it, you want to call and tell me he's a jerk, I can't stand him, I got no patience for that. But we can do that. And anything else on the table? Well, Gabby Lopez, what is it? Come in here for a second. I have to congratulate Gabby. She walked the streets with me yesterday, helping out Tony Oso and JL Blessings. This is Chad, our fearless leader, Chad Lopez's daughter. She's a great kid, cute kid, and walked the streets yesterday. Grab that mic for 1 second. Put a mic on here, Justin.
Hi.
How was that for you yesterday?
That was the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my life. It really was. I truly enjoyed every second from when we were trying to find everybody to doing the whole thing, passing out the backpacks. You really did see the appreciation that these people had, whether they actually, you know, really needed the help or they just needed to get by for the day. It was really
awesome.
A great thing.
Now, we first got there. I disappeared.
Yes.
Because I was starving. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning. By 11 a.m., I need some pizza or something. Did you think I left for the day?
No. I figured because you were saying you were cold. So I was like, Sid definitely is finding shelter somewhere, hiding, trying to get warm. So yeah. That's what I told Tony.
Barbecue chicken pizza across the street. You were great. And thank you. And Tony thought you were great. And congratulations. That was a great day. Thank you.
It was great. Thank you for having him on and like allowing me to be part of it.
You got it. You're a great kid. Gabriel Lopez. And again, thank you to Tony Oso, JL Blessings. And they're in New Jersey doing the same thing today, walking the streets of New Jersey somewhere. Here is Scoop Jackson in Brooklyn. Scoop on line one. What's the scoop, Scoop?
Sid Rosenberg, man. How you doing? Good morning, brother. How you feeling?
I feel great. How are you, brother?
I'm all right. Listen, I just called up to introduce myself, but let me just address what you said. I'm not going to talk about the politicians because politicians are politicians, okay? You agree, you disagree. And right. I agree with what you said. You got to listen to people, hear them out, and then you have a nice conversation. But I'm calling because I want to introduce myself to you because I'm a producer, I'm a director, I'm an actor, and I'm a writer. And at some point, I'm going to reach out to you to get you involved in some of our projects. We just put up a video yesterday, and it's all spoof videos. We're having fun, but we're making a point. And let me tell you something, Sid. You a Coney Island guy. I'm a Coney Island guy. You cut from the same cloth. And like I said, Scoop Jackson, at some point, I will introduce myself to you in person, in your face. We'll talk. We'll kick it. And like I said, I want to get you involved in some of our projects.
I'd love to do that. In fact, I'll put you on hold here, Scoop. Thank you for calling. And give your number to Luke. I'd love to do that. And even though I grew up really in the Midwood section, Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn, my father grew up in Coney Island, and I spend a lot of time in Coney Island now, thanks to John and Margot Catsimatidis, and I love going there. I love it. He's got those beautiful Ocean Drive buildings right on the water. I recommend you all take a look at those. So thank you, Scoop Jackson. Mike Sullivan checks in, and Sully says, great job. That's the way to interview. Can't always have right-wingers come on, like Max, a little better. Wouldn't answer questions about Biden, though, but that's how you do it. Thank you, Mike Sullivan. Here is Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey, online too. Hello, Andy.
Hey, what's up? I got your interview, the tail end of it. It was good. You were fair, but Maxwell, what he mistake that he made, which should disqualify him, or he's a liar, or he's just too dumb, when he said there were people at the protest, counter-protesting, saying black lives don't matter or worthless. That could be a setup. Obviously, that happens. Look at Virginia. It was the Democrats, that the governor, who had it was set up to look like Trump supporters, Klansmen, yeah. Even Bernie Sanders in the primaries against Hillary. The Hillary people had paid, it's on video, two busloads of people to wear Bernie Sanders
right.
T-shirts and start, you know, yep. throwing punches.
Yep.
So it could easily be a setup, so he should have clarified.
That's fair. Hey, listen, Andrew, that is a fair criticism. He could have done that. He did not do that. Again, let me go on record saying that I disagree with a lot of the stuff that Max said. He can talk till he's blue in the face. January 6th, the fact we're still talking about that day is an embarrassment. Please, there was no attack on the Constitution. There was no attack on our democracy. You had a couple of wackos who I don't even know to this day if they were even really Trump supporters. They could have been hired by Soros. Who the hell knows? That went crazy. One person died. And like I said, and I stand by this, on any given summer night in 2020, in any one of these towns, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Portland, Seattle, more people died, more businesses were destroyed, more cops were beat up on any given night during that summer than what transpired on January the 6th. But that's all they've got. And they know that come 2022, the Democrats, they're in big trouble, and maybe once again in 2024. So they hold on to these things because they've got nothing else, because this administration is a disaster. So I disagree with a lot of what Maxwell has had to say, but I agree with some of the stuff he had to say, too. And in the end, I think he came off as a pretty likable guy. One more. No, we don't have time, actually. I got 40 minutes to go. I got plenty of time for all your phone calls. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. When I get back, though, 41 years ago today, it was a crime and a moment in New York history we'll never forget. And of all the places, I found out about it on Monday Night Football. We've got that story and your phone calls on this, the Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid. I want to get to all you phone callers out here, John, Miriam, Alex, Mark, Scott, TJ, and we'll get to all of you. There's no Beat Bernie today because he's out. So the phones will take precedence really from 9:35 after sports right up until Brian Kilmeade takes over at 10. So plenty of time for phone calls, but I do want to spend a little bit of time talking to KG Law's Jeff Guzman. KG Law, and you guys are, first of all, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning.
Put your face right up to the microphone like a porn movie. There you go.
Okay.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Handsome guy, nice suit, nice tie.
Thank you very much.
Looking sharp.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, KG Law is located where?
We're in Manhattan, New York City, Lower Manhattan.
One location, your
and
firm?
And we have also an office in Long Island as well.
Oh, you do? We're in Long Island.
And Great Neck.
That's where my wife practices law in Great Neck.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. Okay, very good. So you're in Great Neck, you're in New York City, and you practice what kind of law?
So we do personal injury, medical malpractice, but we also specialize in nursing home litigation.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
So I would imagine that after the Andrew Cuomo saga, yes. that you guys must be very, very busy, Jeff.
You'd be surprised, because unfortunately a lot of people don't realize, with this whole COVID crisis, they actually think that there was some sort of immunity which didn't allow people to sue if their loved one contracted COVID in a nursing home. But that's actually not the case.
That's not true. So if Janice Dean was on this morning, for example, from Fox News.
Yes.
And you know John.
Absolutely. Big supporter of COVID victims.
Right.
Nursing home victims.
Well, she lost both of her in-laws because of Cuomo's, and I'm going to say this, murderous policies.
Yes.
So if Janice's husband, for example, wanted to sue Cuomo for losing his mother and father, you're telling me legally, Jeff, that he can do that?
Well, it's actually suing the nursing home.
The nursing home.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And whether the nursing homes ultimately want to bring in the city, that's up to – or the state, I should say. That's up to them.
Right.
But the nursing homes have a lot of culpability here. They knew – first of all, there was never a mandate from Cuomo that told them that they had to accept COVID-positive patients.
Right. So if I go to try to sue them and they go, hey, what do you want me to do? The governor told me to do it. You're saying that didn't exist.
That never existed. There was some guidance, and when they issued the guidance – a lot of the nursing homes didn't want to take these patients. They knew it would be a disaster for them, for their residents. And so initially, Governor Cuomo slipped into a budget bill, an immunity provision, a limited immunity provision for these nursing homes. And then once they had immunity and they said, hey, look, we can fill all our beds and we won't get, you know, a lot of patients are going to die, a lot of residents are going to die, but we're not going to get sued. They started taking these COVID-positive patients. However, ultimately, Letitia James, Attorney General Letitia James, was fantastic, and she did an investigation, and she uncovered the fact that very shortly after they started taking these patients, residents were dying, and Cuomo was underreporting it. You know, he had a lot of interest to do that, given the fact that, you know, he at the time, he was the darling of afternoon television with his press conferences, and
he won an Emmy Award for that.
Yeah,
crazy. And he got a $5.2 million book deal. And unbelievable.
The book deal,
and was already almost appointed the next president.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So when all of a sudden his guidance to start taking these patients was backfiring and people were dying, instead of quickly stopping the process, he basically tried to cover it up.
Right.
And he was underreporting the deaths of these residents by 50%.
50%.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. So we've been told that anywhere between Jeff Guzman here from KG Law, anywhere between 15,000 to 18,000 people died.
Yes. 16,000, we believe.
Right. But that was reported. So are you telling me closer to 30,000?
No. I think that ultimately after it was uncovered. You know, that basically what was happening was the nursing homes knew that they couldn't take these patients in. They didn't have the staffing. They were chronically understaffed for years. They didn't have the quarantine facilities. They didn't even have enough proper protection for the personal protection for the equipment for the staff.
Right, the PPEs.
The PPE. They knew it was going to be a disaster. But Cuomo gave them this limited immunity. And they ran with it. And even after the guidance was lifted, finally, they kept taking the patients. You know, they wanted to fill the beds. And a lot of residents died. And it was really, it was a disaster.
It was. And the nursing home lobby is arguing that the repeal of immunity is not retroactive. I know the Immunity Act was repealed back on April 6th of 2021, Jeff. So basically, what I'm gathering from this conversation, and it's an important conversation, so thank you for coming in. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Is that regardless of what the nursing homes tell you, they really are legally accountable here.
100%. First of all, the immunity was limited in the first instance. So for the fact that they were ill-equipped to deal with this, taking in these patients, even, you know, but well before COVID. I mean, we all knew that something like COVID was going to happen. And the CDC was telling them that they had to be prepared for something like this. But, you know, they have a financial business model where they want to be chronically understaffed. They want to cut down on costs. And so they were never prepared for this. And then they took these patients. It was crazy. Cuomo was telling them, we want you to take positive COVID positive patients, and I'll tell you what, we don't even want you to test anyone.
They don't care.
We don't care. We want to put you in the nursing home so we can clear up these beds. Meanwhile, the Javits Center.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. The Javits Center was open. Not only that, but you may remember that President Trump, whether you like him or not, again, he actually had that ship.
Yeah.
The ship was docked right here in New York City. Between the Javits Center and that ship, you had literally, Jeff, thousands of beds.
Exactly.
They never had to do that.
But Cuomo wanted to chart his own course.
Well, there was money involved here, too. Okay. Let's not kid ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let's not be so naive to think any time a decision like that is made, where you're walking the fine line between people dying, you know someone is putting money in their pocket.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
So if it sounds like I'm saying that about Andrew Cuomo, that's exactly right. Follow the money trail. You'll find out there was more nefarious reasons behind this that included money. Now, could he ever be held responsible for this, Andrew, in your opinion?
I think that really the state can, but I'm never him personally.
Never him personally?
No, definitely not.
Okay, so the only criminal charges he's going to face are the sexual harassment deals.
No. Well, criminal is different. I'm saying that he could never criminal if he was – if it was determined that he was criminally negligent.
Right.
And criminal charges were brought. That's a different story. But well, civilly he could
civilly, never, no. But if, yeah. But if I came to you – and I said, listen, I want to sue him, a criminal, blah, blah, blah. Well, that would be civilly, right?
Yeah,
he couldn't
exactly.
do that, right? He'd have to be arrested. Which he has been. Has he been arrested? Didn't he? He's supposed to turn himself in a couple of weeks ago. That ever happened?
There was no there was never a perp walk like we
not that we
assumed.
Saw. Do you know Jeff? Did
I
he?
Don't even know if he ever, if that's even actually.
He even did that. I don't think he did.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the talk about a month ago. All right, so for folks that are considering going through this action.
Yes.
And suing the nursing home, sounds like you're the right guy, Jeff. Guzman at KG Law.
Yeah, Krenzel Guzman. I'm sorry, Krenzel Guzman Herbert, KG Law. Yes.
How come Herbert got screwed? Where's the H? Where's the KG?
We started
poor
before,
Herbert.
Herbert's a more recent addition.
Oh, he's a new partner.
He's a new young partner. Yes.
When are we going to get Herbert and Guzman? Guzman, I should say.
Krenzel, yeah, we have to get Krenzel and
How
Herbert
long have you been a lawyer there?
So about 20 something years.
Oh, you've been there a long time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where'd you go to law school?
Rutgers.
But you did?
Yeah. Rutgers,
great school.
Camden, New Jersey.
Great school. I know that Jim Gandolfini did his undergraduate work at Rutgers University.
Right, exactly.
And you live in New Jersey? You live
I
in
do.
New York?
I do. Where? Short Hills, New Jersey.
Oh, lovely place.
Yeah.
Like that mall, one of my favorites. All right, so folks who want to contact your law firm, how do they do that?
So you can call us at our office number at 212-227-2900. Or you can reach us online at www.kglawteam.com.
And again, just to reiterate most of the conversation's theme, if in fact you lost a loved one in a nursing home.
Or even you have a loved one that contracted COVID in a nursing home.
Right. Then despite what that nursing home may be telling you.
Yes.
Call Jeff Guzman because you have a suit.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's great to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You are going to be home for Christmas? You're traveling? What are you doing?
We will be home. We were going to go to Paris, but I think COVID and the Omicron might have put a dent in that.
Have you been to Paris before?
I have.
You like it?
Love it. Yeah, absolutely.
I
proposed to my wife.
Oh, you did?
Paris, yeah.
All right, I'm getting you off the air. At this point, you're hurting me. I went to Paris once, and we went for 10 days. Uh-huh. And the first 4 days, I loved it.
Yeah.
And by the fifth day, I had enough.
You don't need more than 4 days there.
No, and I'm very American, as you can tell.
Yeah.
You're a little more international than I am. And they didn't like me very much.
I'm very New Jersey.
Yes,
so.
Yes. I'm very Brooklyn. You're very New Jersey.
That's right.
That works better in Paris for you. It's great to meet you, Jeff.
Very nice meeting you.
Thank you for the fine work that you do. Jeff Guzman, once again, KG Law. Contact them today. You've got a suit, folks. Don't listen to the nursing homes. You've got yourself a suit. Well, who is this?
It's Kelly Clarkson.
Let me hear some more of this. Fat, but she's cute, I guess, you know.
How does that work?
I don't know. She's good on the voice. I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. Stop watching it. I got annoyed. I had enough. You know, with the whole Blake Shelton, who's the kid that won the sexiest man of the year, which he weighs like 80 pounds soaking up with 90 tattoos. He's
Paul
not
Rudd?
No, the kid from Maroon 5. What the hell is
Oh, Adam Levine.
Please. Sexiest man of the year. That's almost as dumb as Paul Rudd. You're right. I deserve it more than both of those guys.
Have you seen Adam Levine's wife?
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So Matthew McConaughey's wife is. So is my wife. So what's the difference? So is your, you know, mail order Russian girlfriend, whoever she is. What is her name again?
She's got a name, Lisa.
That's right, Lisa. Listen, the point is, there's a point to be made here, is that I stopped watching the show because it got dumb after a while. All it was Blake and Adam fighting, and then Kelly comes on and she's all bubbly and excited. You know, she's all annoying after a while. You know, so I don't watch it. And then she has her own talk show, which. I don't watch either, but I like her. There's something about her I like. It's hard not to like Kelly Clarkson. You have to be like a real Fabishina.
Well, she's very talented.
She is very talented.
You could say the same thing about Mariah Carey. She's very annoying, but she's very talented.
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean, not everybody who's very talented is likable. There's a lot of very talented people who are just horrible people.
Of course, that's why.
Kelly Clarkson is not. She's like just a nice... You know, she's making like Girl Scout cookies, you know.
That's why everybody who ever that's why every songwriter shouldn't have a talk show.
She's eating too many of them, but she's making them, you know. What is it, Luke? What do you want to say?
I have no thoughts here, sir.
Oh, you were approaching the microphone. You got the headset on.
His voice is back. He's getting very excited.
Yeah. You do sound a lot better today. You feel better?
I feel a lot better.
Good. Here, Mark is in New Jersey making a point that I always make, too, especially at home, line six. Good morning, Mark. How are you, pal?
Yeah, good morning. I'm good. You know, you guys have been many miles in this tractor trailer with me.
Oh, good. Thank you for that. Thank you.
You guys have made a lot of deliveries with me.
Cool.
Anyways, did you notice when Max said, you know, thank you for saying that Black Lives Matter? How insulting is that? You know, like what? Nobody realized that Black Lives Matter?
Well, that's why I have this argument all the time. The whole premise is insulting. I mean, the idea that people really believe this is a racist country, and I got people, wow, you don't grow up in the South. Stop. This is not a racist country. Overwhelmingly, people are not racist. And the fact that we continue to put that out there and need groups like Black Lives Matter, all it does is further the divide. I mean, you have to be an idiot not to realize that, no?
I've been driving trucks for 40 years now. I'm one of the old-timers out here. I've never had problems with anybody. I know all races, ethnicities, everything.
Not.
We're all fine with each other.
Of course.
There's no problem. We're friends. It's just insulting. And I get insulted. When Max said that, I was like, what an idiot. He's playing the race card.
Well, I mean, my feeling, Mark, is that, and you sound like a super guy and a great American, but you know, I'm going to call you out. My feeling is that you didn't like Max to begin with, so you were going to find something to point out that he said you didn't like. Is that fair to say?
I kind of, I disagreed with him, but I thought he's a nice guy and stuff. But when he said that, that got me right there.
Okay.
And then the rest of the interview was tainted for me. But, you know, he had guts coming on there and stuff, and I agree with you for doing that interview. You got to hear both sides. Can't live in an echo chamber.
Right, thank you. And you know, you don't want to crush the guy. He comes on his first time on the show, and you start kicking his face in one of those points. He ain't going to come back. And I just, you know, I just don't like that, and I won't do that. And that's part of the reason why he came on today. Now he'll come back when Bernie is back on, and Bernie's going to, you know, savage the guy, and then he may never come back after that. That's fine. That's fine. That's what, you know, Bernie gets fired up, and we've had instances where people have hung up the phone and never come back. And we've had people that do come back. But wanted to make sure that at least he had one more opportunity to get back. I certainly wasn't easy on him. I mean, if you're listening to that conversation, you thought I was easy on Max, you're not being fair. Wasn't easy at all. Held his feet to the fire, basically the whole 13-minute conversation, but allowed him to speak his mind and allow people like Mark in his truck in New Jersey to come back with comments afterwards. Miriam in Queens on line four. Hi, Miriam.
Hi. By the way, let me preface what I was going to say is you're doing a great job solo.
Thank you.
Both of you, but you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you, sweetheart.
And I'm doing
it.
A mishaberach for Bernie as I did for your mother, Naomi, during the high holidays.
Yes, thank you. He appreciates that. He, you know, I talk to Bernie often every day. He loves all the prayers, so thank you for that.
Did you ever think that Biden, and that Putin couldn't believe he's sitting next to Biden, this is the best this country can come with?
Oh, of course he thought that. I mean, he wasn't sitting next to him. It was a Zoom call, obviously, but of course he thought that. And he's laughing all day long. He wasn't laughing at Trump. You know, Trump, again, I say this at the risk of pissing some of you folks off. I wish he was still president. I will vote for Donald Trump enthusiastically if he does decide to run in 2024. I hope to God he does. But there's a lot of times where he comes off as a complete buffoon, you know, and I'm sure that people get a kick out of it. But overall, he demands respect. I thought he did as this country's leader. And I think he intimidated certain people. I think that works in that position. And Biden can't do any of that. Can't do any of that. So, yes, I do think Putin's sitting there going, this is the best they've got. Really? The vaunted United States, huh? This is the best they've got? Please. I mean, compared to Putin, he's a child. Biden. I'll say it. I'm not here to compliment other world leaders, especially folks that murder journalists in the streets, but let's call for what it is. Compared to Putin, this guy's a child. Alex is in California, line five. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say on the matter of Ukraine that they've had more than 30 years to modernize their country, and it have done almost nothing. It's like no better than a typical Hispanic country in Latin America.
That's true. So
I don't think we should waste our time, money, blood, and treasure on defending Ukraine. You know, not every country that is a democracy is worth our time, and I'm afraid that Ukraine is one of those.
Yeah, that's probably true. No, it is true, actually, what you just said. But I don't know. I guess we don't pick and choose based on that criteria, which you accurately pointed out. We don't pick and choose based on that criteria. We just don't want Russia to continue to gobble up other land, whether it's Crimea, which it was in the past, or the Ukraine in this case. So I think it's more about that, right? Allowing Russia to continue to expand. Here is Rob in Newark, where the Devils will host the Flyers tonight. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. This is Bob. Yeah, this is Bob from Newark. Yeah, want to go back to the 1967 Newark riots.
Yeah.
My simple case, I'll get right to the point. There's so much buffoonery going on, so much idiocy, so much mistruth, that I can't believe that anybody could be so incompetent. From the White House, from the House of Representatives, and all the way down the line.
To the media.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. The withdrawal from Afghanistan and how we left the people hanging. That's unheard of in history. I mean, any sixth grader would know that that's not the way you do it. And I think that we don't pump hard enough on the gas pedal with saying how we left these women in Afghanistan out to dry.
Well, who's going to pump on that? I mean, the people that run the government are not going to call themselves out. The media, which 99.99% tries as hard as it can to defend Joe Biden, who's going to point it out besides us and Newsmax and Fox News? Who?
You guys keep doing it, and you do a great job.
Thank you.
What I see is that needle pointing straight up is starting to send tilt a little bit to the right, where you get a guy like Bill Maher, who's saying that there are some idiotic things that the leftists are doing.
Yep.
I mean, and...
Well, but we need a lot more than Bill Maher. And Bill Maher, you're right, it's a great example. We play Bill Maher's audio on this show often because lately it seems like he's completely on our page. And he doesn't want to be, folks. That's what you have to understand about Bill Maher. He doesn't want to be, but he's a rational human being. And when you put politics aside and see what the left is doing, there's no way you can defend it. So, yes, Bill Maher is a wonderful example. We need a lot more Bill Maher's. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We will come back and wrap up this terrific Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid on the phones with you folks. Your chance to talk to Sid is next. George Michael, he's dead. Let me hear some of this. Don't turn it off yet. I like this song. It puts you in a good mood. Huh? This is Wham. Or George Michael, I don't know.
Give it to someone special.
That's you, Justin, yes. Special. You too, Lou Fabrano.
Wow.
I thought the music was better today. I don't know why. More upbeat stuff. I think you tend to play some of the older stuff for Bernie because he's old. And it depresses the hell out of me, like the Bing Crosby and Dean Martin, enough of that, you know. So I think the music was a little better today. And all those Leslie Slender songs are great. I mean, great. You agree with that? Or?
Well, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I'm probably 50-50. I would say you're usually the one that plays all the sappy,
right, that's
slow
true.
Stuff.
That's right. Yes, that's true. And I miss that. Believe me. I wish that we would institute a policy where we do every other song a Christmas song so I can play some, you know, Frey and Goo Goo Dolls and all that horrible stuff that nobody else likes except for me.
Well, I wouldn't say nobody else. I think it's a guilty pleasure that a lot of grown men have.
Well, listen, I play a lot of 70s stuff, and my generation loves that. You know, I remember one of the program directors I had over the years, I don't know, a lot of them were good and a lot of them were terrible. But I remember one saying, why do you, the music, even Matt Meany complains sometimes, you play it too long, I don't care. They're like, why? And I'm like, well, because I like it. And they're like, but what about the audience? I go, why do I care about the audience? What do I care? I'm not playing that music for the audience, I'm playing it for me. Because when the segment starts, if the song does something for me, whatever it is, puts me in a good mood, puts me in a bad mood, makes me reminiscent, that now becomes motivation and almost a kickstart, right? What's what I'm looking for to be exact here? With
catalyst?
The, thank you. A catalyst for me for the next segment. And if I'm going to be at my best, which is important, or Bernard for that matter, either one of us, although I rely on music more than he does, then that becomes important. So the music is not for the audience. It's to get me kickstarted so that the next 8, 9, 10 minutes, I'll be at my best. And when I'm at my best, there's nobody better. Nobody.
Well,
nobody.
If it was for the audience.
Except for Stern.
If it was for the audience, then we would care about all the requests we get.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't ask you what they requested. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. Anytime somebody sends a note like, oh, what's with that music? I want to hear more AC/DC. Okay, good. Then go in your car and the show is over and play all you want. Bang your head against the wall all day. What do I care? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, show's over. God. Bernie's back tomorrow. Thank God we missed him. He's doing well. I promise you, folks. He's getting some stuff done today. He's got the biopsy next week. He'll miss a couple more days, and then we'll both be off anyway for Christmas and New Year's. So it's right around the corner. But we'll he'll be back tomorrow. I'll let you know how it all went. Thank you for listening today. I thought we had a really good show. Janice Dean, Max Rose, Peter King, and Sean Spicer. The crew will be back tomorrow. You all did a great job. Mike, Luke, Justin, and Frank. From all of us to all of you, enjoy your hump day Wednesday until Thursday at 6, everybody.